following is a Red Shovel Network production. The Red Shovel Network consists of The Drew Mike Show, Child of the Duff's No Bullshit News, Emma Eric's Soul of Detroit, and No Filter Sports and shit. Enjoy the following Red Shovel Network production, please.
Hey, what's poppin'? It's the DealsInTheD.com studios with the Drew and Mike Show. Trudy is across from me.
Ready?
Mark! Brandon, Joey, and we're on Facebook Live. Brought to you by Mesa Tacos and Tequilas in the heart of downtown Royal Oak on Main Street between 3rd and 4th, with the largest and best patios in the city, with both outdoor and indoor seating, and 10% off, mention Drew and Mike, not to mention 150 tequilas and the 35-foot screen. So
I have to work my way through all 150 now.
Yeah, it's
excited.
Might take some work. There are some people who are getting there, I understand.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a tequila lover's paradise and great Mexican food. So I went to the Tigers game last night with Steve Gabara from Zotford. Mm-hmm. And I have to tell you, I went today
without Steve Gabara from Zotford, but with the Hall Financial people.
Oh, yes.
Nice. Wow, this is just plug
and
mania.
Henry Doe. Yeah.
So when do I go and with whom?
Let's see.
You
and Dr. Roche can go somewhere.
No. We went to the Tiger game last year.
I've gone with Greg, too.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Luke.
You're going to go with Luke?
Yeah, Luke would be a lot of fun to go with. Luke likes to gamble on what the next pitch will be.
I can't go with Eli.
Wait,
he knows too much about it. I feel stupid.
Well, I was there today with Eli.
Oh, Eli was there. Okay.
He's not all about sports all the time. Anyway, the point was, I almost wish I hadn't brought it up. Justin Verlander pitched last night, and I was really excited to see him pitch because, you know, we watched him every fifth day for 11 years? 2006 to 2017.
I just liked baseball when I was a kid.
And I don't know, he's really probably my favorite baseball player from this era. I just love watching him pitch. Love watching him. And he was great last night. He went six innings. He had a one home run to Jacoby Jones. But what was terrible was the announced attendance was 15,900. And if there were 15,900 people there, I didn't see them.
Really?
It looked like a lot less to me. It was grim. And I watched him on the post game say that he was kind of sad there were more people there, although they were all cheering for him.
22,000.
Yeah, maybe. We should have the inauguration.
Oh, yeah.
Estimators that Trump had. Maybe they should figure out what the attendance was and make us all feel better. So, yeah, that was...
It's kind of sad. Yeah, it was pretty empty today, too.
Bittersweet seeing him pitch for Houston in the first place, although I was all about JV last night. But the crowd, it's just... I don't know. I don't know what's going on in that...
That team's not very good.
No, they're not. I'm not real... I know they got a couple exciting players in the pipeline, but you need... About 23 more, I think.
Is that the worst fielding infield you've seen in a long time?
In the fourth or fifth inning, it was about as bad as I've ever seen. It looked like a Little League game.
Not to be Maz and give a partial score, do you have any idea what the score is in today's game
now? It was 6-0 last
night. It's 17-0 now.
What?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. God.
Yeah, Oakland's up 17-0.
Well, here we go.
There's only one out left. They could rally.
Yeah, I don't have any Tigers on my fantasy baseball team at all.
Oh, God.
Oh, wow.
I'd rather watch the Tigers than your fantasy team.
Well, it was a good game last night, and it was great to see JV. But overall, it just reminded me how far we have fallen since we had that great 10-year run. It was such a blast seeing the full house there all the time, and being in the pennant race in August and September, and winning the division a few times, and World Series twice. It was nice, but not going to be for a while. So anyway, today on the show we have the Rock Doc. Neil Ratner, and
the Rat.
He could be an interesting guest. I'm hoping. I'm confident. He
no,
was.
You are not. You're ambivalent.
Slightly, but he was prescribing propofol to Michael Jackson. He was the first one.
It was his idea.
It was his idea.
Yeah. Oh, you're not sleeping. Oh, okay.
Do we know why he went to prison yet? Do we know?
No.
Big surprise.
We'll ask him.
I didn't get to that point, and when we talked...
I mean, can you Google it? I just Googled it, and I couldn't find it.
Okay.
He's like the only person in the world without a Wikipedia page.
Well, he he ran tours for Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. He was out with AC/DC. He worked with Edgar and Johnny Winter, which I was kind of fascinated from the point that they were albinos.
Right.
I don't wonder. I've always wondered what that means in, like, in a rock band. It seems like it'd be a tough occupation, but they did great.
Well,
they're
I mean, if
players.
You work mostly at night, you're good, right? Because both of them were
guess.
Albinos
I mean,
and couldn't be in the sun a lot. So what? That's what, true.
What happens? What happens in developing?
Maybe they just said that so they could be the headliner for every event.
So I mean, it sounds interesting to me. And then, of course, abortion is leading the league in attention right now. And I have to admit, I'm reading this stuff. I hate this topic so much. I know we talked about it yesterday. But this morning I was delighted to see that even Pat Robertson doesn't like the Alabama law. And
what?
For a different reason.
Well, yeah. He doesn't think it's a good challenge. And I think I knew this, but I hadn't really given it much thought, that the Supreme Court decides what cases are going to take. And the feeling is the Supreme Court won't take this. They're just going to say no.
Really?
Because it's too restrictive. And so it may be that it's the wrong law for the pro-lifers who want to overturn Roe v. Wade. So
this is kangaroo court, sir.
Trudy, a lot of people liked your destination idea.
Did
and
then they?
Somebody pointed out via email that is not applicable for Georgia, because even if you cross state lines and come back.
Yeah, they'll prosecute you.
You'll prosecute.
If you went and had an abortion?
Yeah, in another state.
So you went
you
to
cross
like
state lines. But what kind of a law is
Jamaica
that?
Jamaica and had an abortion?
What is going on?
If I go to New Jersey and I gamble on sports where it's legal there but it's not here and I come back, am I going to be
You'll be arrested immediately.
Really? Yeah, okay. That makes a lot of sense.
I know. This is just...
Or if I go to Vegas and just gamble.
I'm just kind of amazed that you could get a state legislature to get... Really? Meanwhile...
The woman who signed the bill, though, I was like appalled. I didn't know what she looked like until today. And I was like...
Oh, the
she
governor?
She has no dog in any fight
the
in abortion. Right.
That's funny.
Sorry.
I did wonder, how did that lady become Alabama's governor? She's 105.
Well, it's Alabama.
And she's a woman.
Crocheting a shawl.
They ran a child molester for the Senate, and a lot of people voted for him. Yeah. I mean, he barely lost, didn't he, Roy Jones?
That's true. It's so Alabama.
So, meanwhile, you know, this topic, which I hate anyway, it's just such a... today there's a big hashtag, women are telling their abortion stories. And I'm like...
Nobody wants them.
I don't want to read those, and I don't want to know they're out there. I mean, I don't even want to know they're there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Sorry. I mean, I realize they have the right to do this. I'm not saying they don't. I mean, they can do whatever they want, but I don't want to read it. Are there people going, oh, my God, there's a whole bunch of abortion stories on Twitter today. This is great.
I can't wait to get into it.
That's not a genre of literature, abortion. People don't want to read those stories.
I'm sure there's a book like this,
really?
But including Minka Kelly, who I think is one of the hottest women in the
Beautiful.
Whole world,
mm-hmm.
And she, the headline is, Minka Kelly calls abortion the smartest decision she ever made or something. Goes on to say, it was a smart decision for me, my boyfriend, and the fetus. And I'm like, the fetus?
And Derek Jeter.
I mean, and now I feel like I'm getting into a philosophical argument, and I didn't mean to. I'm thinking, I think the fetus, I'm not sure the fetus would call that the best decision for it.
The fetus can't make any decisions of its own, though.
I know, but I had to take exception to that. It's like, I don't want any part of this, but I just saw the smartest decision I've ever made. And I thought, you know, I didn't think it would be her abortion.
I think she would.
I think I understand what she's trying to say, but I just don't think I would have said it that way. But I'm not a woman, so I have no right to say anything.
Maybe she hasn't had many good decisions.
Well, she got nailed by Derek Jeter.
Well, that was her best decision.
That was
really.
Not a very good decision.
Why was that not a good decision?
Well, she got a signed baseball when she left, probably.
Yeah, she was with him for a while.
Was it like one inning or more than that?
No, she was with him for a long time.
I'd say she got into the fourth or fifth inning.
Did she?
Yeah.
Well.
Fourth or fifth inning. She got up to the plate a few times.
She banged Sean Penn, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Well, those are her worst decisions.
Wow.
And Topher Grace, John Mayer.
Wait, Sean Penn and Minka Kelly?
And Chris Evans and Taylor Kitsch.
That's quite a team
photo.
Wait, has she banged all the Avengers?
That's a pertinent question.
No Mark Ruffalo.
Okay, I'm going to throw something out there on this topic. When Peggy Lipton died, one of the thing that I was just stuck on, almost like the smartest decision I ever made, but even more, was that Peggy Lipton had slept with Elvis Presley, Paul McCartney, and Keith Moon. And I thought, there can't be anyone with a better threesome in their team photo.
Yeah.
Can anyone name a female, and it's not that hard to find this out, who has had sex with three men who are more powerful in our world.
Do you want to count some of the groupies, like the famous groupies?
About Pamela Anderson with Brett Michaels, Tommy Lee, and Julian Assange.
Oh, no, she slept her way to the middle, as Greg
Janelle Evans.
Janelle Evans. Oh, my God.
Oh, wait, that's the worst threesome ever.
Wait, what's the news on Janelle Evans today?
Oh, David got kicked out of the supervised visit with his daughter.
What did he do?
He was himself. But the good news is he's trimmed his beard.
Oh, that's...
According to the story.
Okay.
Game changer.
But they've had all the kids removed now, I suppose.
By the way, you can read about Mila Jovovich's abortion and Busy
Great.
Phillips' abortion
cool.
and many others.
Awesome.
And Emily Ratajkowski was nude today to protest
really?
The Alabama law.
Drop everything. Where's that at?
But Emily, that's not news. She gets nude.
She's nude.
I know. I just
for everything.
Like, yeah. Oh. I was so shocked to read she had as a husband. I was like, there's a guy who has to pick up the Daily Mail every or look at the Daily Mail every day and go, oh, there's my wife nude again.
He probably likes
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Married
I'd
to her.
Be proud.
He looks like
proud?
He likes it.
Yeah, he's maybe one of those guys.
So David Easton
he's
was
got crazy hair.
He was thrown out because he was arguing with social workers.
Of course.
He was causing trouble. He was arguing with everybody, explaining why he was asked to leave. But according to an eyewitness, David trimmed his beard and cut his hair prior to the meeting. So he's learning, Drew.
He's cleaning
steps.
His act up.
Janelle was not crying and was not upset at the meeting. And now their
great
kids
guy.
Are, their kids are gone.
Dave Murphy. On Facebook says, we need more things for Emily to protest.
I agree, Dave. You're dead on.
Well, maybe she'll protest the new radio station in Connecticut, Trump 103.3.
What? Really?
Yes, Trump 103.3.
That's right.
They have affiliates. And by the way, in the same story, I read that three Florida stations are playing Trump speeches every hour until the election.
Wow. Hmm. Oh, my God. Wow.
Trump 103.3.
Is it?
What do they do?
No, Trump will be into their ratings. Speaking of Trump 103, did you see Trump 103.3's ratings?
Probably. Yeah.
We would have such high ratings.
Wait, so that's what this station does too? They just play all.
No, it's just very conservative.
Oh.
It's no good.
No, they don't play. They don't play speeches.
So
well,
they
probably play speeches.
When they went
speeches.
When they were flipping, did they play one particular song over and over again as? Radio stations are wont to do. And what was it?
Money?
Maybe.
Yeah, that was
the
TV
theme to
show,
The Apprentice.
Theme. Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't he want to just confiscate that song for his own, too?
Probably.
Yeah, there was got
the best bet anybody ever made.
The funny thing is, every song he plays, the band demands he stop playing it, and he never does. Or he just plays a new one and someone else protests.
That's a good song.
Beto O'Rourke live streamed a haircut also. That's news.
Oh, cool.
I love that he relaunched his campaign. To me, all that says is that your first campaign was stupid.
He has been quite the thud of a campaign.
I know. I'm kind of stunned because I know he's a big Beatles fan, and I thought, well, maybe a Beatles fan can
win. Needs a haircut!
I was laughing because, there's so many people on the Democratic side now, and every time somebody's announced, they do a little package on it, but then the governor of Montana announced,
mm-hmm.
And it was the biggest throwaway story on the morning news. It was, and the governor of Montana is running for president now. That's 23.
Yeah, de Blasio.
No, it didn't even barely mention it. De Blasio got a little more attention.
It wasn't that much.
A little more attention.
Who cares?
Because people don't like him.
Now, there's some really interesting, are we still live on Facebook?
Yeah.
Okay, only reason I ask is because we're going to play something that's going to get us kicked off Facebook if we stay on. So we might as well go off for... How long do we go?
It's 12 minutes.
12 minutes? Okay.
All right. See ya.
Hold our 12 minutes.
Hi.
This is really... Brandon, I sent you the Who thing, didn't I?
Yeah, let me pull it up.
Did you watch it?
I did not.
You didn't?
No, I apologize.
Roger scolding people?
No.
Video?
It's the Who playing with toy instruments with the Roots and Jimmy Fallon...
Oh,
we won't
cool.
get fooled again. And I'm telling you, I was laughing watching this. Keith's playing a little toy guitar. Actually, it's a ukulele.
Oh. But
this is Fallon's version of Carpool Karaoke.
I kind of like this
I
bit.
I thought this was funny. And there's some other ones on. Maybe we should look at some of the other ones, too. But let me do the break first. Sod Ford and Holly is conducting a unique VIP key for key event. During this event, you can exchange your current vehicle for a brand new 2019 Ford without spending a dime out of your pocket. Their goal is to match or lower your monthly payment. And Zod Ford's managers have been authorized to assist. Official authorization going on to assist you in terminating the remainder of your loan or lease, no matter what you owe. So So we'll feature a straight VIP key for key exchange. Should they change that to fob per fob?
Yes.
You give Zot Ford the fob to your current vehicle, and they will give you the fob to a brand new 2019 Ford. No hassles, no gimmicks, no shenanigans. Just go see Maz or Gary or any of the hottest sales staff in Oakland County. Tell them Drew and Mike sent you. And then, Gary. Trudy, you got the Dr. Roche goodies.
Yes, as a matter of fact, throughout the month of May, Dr. Roche will be still honoring mommy makeovers for Mother's Day in honor of that all through May till the 31st, which means special prices on HD lipo body type for body, arms, face, neck, with a small incision, just like a needle, and you're boom to boom back to the business of whatever you're doing. Brazilian butt lifts for sculpting a rounder, fuller behind.
Did you mention boobs?
Boobs as well. Yes, breast lifts. I was just getting to that. Dr. Roche's latest thing. He kind of loves, he specializes
in
a lot.
He's loving
of
things, his breast lifts.
But he digs doing that lately. Yeah, because it's such a significant difference.
Hey, we're talking tits.
Reverses sagging in the downward trend of the breast. And, you know, some of them are very subtle, and you can put in a little augmentation with an implant or your own fat in a fat transfer. Or there's breast tight as well. And Diva with a free G-Shot, Botox, eyelid lifts, Morpheus 8 for stretch marks and anything else. It's all on special. Gift cards are still available, 248-338-1110, or go to drroche.com to see all the procedures before you get them. See what you think would fit you and your schedule.
Some well worth looking at before and after pictures.
You got to know, you know.
Hall Financial is the top mortgage company in Michigan for client service, and they've supported our show for a long, long time. David Hall and Hall Financial, the team to go to if you're looking to purchase a home or refinance, and you heard it, they have over 600 five-star reviews, 44 days on the average for a refi, 19 with Hall Financial. Or your first home, dream home, take money out of your home, shorten the length of your loan, just click the link on the Drew and Mike Show website, fill out the online form, and they will get back to you fast. Or go to drewandmike.hallfg.com or call 248-308-5000. You won't be disappointed with Hall Financial, NMLS number 146-7435. Okay. And the Hall Financial hotline is open.
So it appears, a quick skimming, that Neil Ratner went to prison for supplying Michael Jackson.
Oh, really?
I think that's at the...
After he died, I assume, right?
Chapter... no,
I remember hearing about that.
He was talking He was talking to Michael, and he's like, I got to tell you one thing. He said, I'm afraid they're going to attack our relationship in court and try to imply that I'm with you only to give you drugs. Why else?
Oh, so the truth?
Why? Yes. I would love to know. Don't you think the amount of different drugs he prescribed is probably in the triple figures? With Michael Jackson?
Yes, I would imagine. Yeah, because, you know, you have to propofol, and then you've got to have something else, right, to sustain you through the day. Oh, plus he didn't eat very well.
Oh, you know what, Trudy, I was reading that part of the story. That's why I thought I would bump into the prison thing, and I didn't. Michael Jackson was the biggest wimp. He was in ICU for no reason whatsoever.
And he's dehydrated.
He gets dehydrated very easily. He doesn't eat well.
Doesn't drink.
And, I mean, he just is such a wimp. And then he describes giving him anesthesia before a zillion procedures with this cosmetic guy, Dr. Summers. And I'm like, what? Well, we know what he was doing, but I don't know.
Do you think, was he in any way what people consider to be a regular person before he started getting the plastic surgery for the Pepsi injuries?
Kind of.
Go off the rails after that with it?
No, he had already lost his...
the propofol and all, you know.
He had already lost his childhood by then, Trudy.
That's true.
Sorry, that was an insensitive question.
That's what really happened.
Uh-oh. Allegedly.
Now, so the Rock doc, he mentioned all the guys in the 70s. Do you think Jackson was by far the biggest drug abuser?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
I just couldn't get over what a pussy Michael Jackson was. And then he meets Lisa Marie, who sounds like the biggest bitch. And Lisa Marie, at one point... she's told him, I hate doctors. Doctors killed my father, and they're not going to kill Michael. And I really was thinking to myself, was she really even at the hospital when he was in the hospital? I mean, they spent like 5 minutes together, I thought. I mean, he was sort of making him sound like they were a real couple. And then Michael, after he gets out of the hospital, says something to the effect of, I don't know if I can stay with Lisa Marie. being mean to me. He's mean to my doctor. This is terrible. I don't like her. Ooh. And she's got cooties. So,
ironically, we asked the doctor to wait a Jackson before we talked.
It seemed like the appropriate time frame.
By the way, Neil Rubin is in the house today. Yeah.
Yeah.
Neil is taking photographs at the moment. He's been discussing the Red Shovel Network as we... The Red Shovel Network.
Oh, butt buddy, are you here, Neil?
Made its executives available today to talk to Neil about the network.
The executive.
The fledging network. So
Neil has given us, by the way, so many hours of enjoyment reading the newspaper, so thanks, Neil.
I know.
I'm bummed, though. Why don't you have a different university sweatshirt on today or T-shirt? You're always repping a different school. Oh, okay.
Goodbye,
incognito.
It's not a picture for the paper. So
his picture is being taken for the paper. He would probably have one. But I was when
I like that.
Neil texted yesterday. I was thinking, will I ever stop hearing Neil Rubin's name as a working member of the press? How long can this go on?
Well, I don't know. I'm just one lottery ticket away, though.
But you've been at the Free Press or the News since. 84?
80, nice timing for a guy who likes baseball. I got here in August of 1984.
Ooh. Wow. Where'd you come from?
Came from Las Vegas. I grew up in Southern California, and then we moved to Colorado when I was a junior in high school.
And you covered Nevada, Las Vegas baseball.
I did, which, you know, again, was kind of fun. If you're going to be a sports writer, it was probably better than covering the rodeo.
What? What happened to sports writing?
You know, you just get to a point where you can't ask any more sweaty 19-year-olds how it felt to win the big game.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it does look like fun when you're going into the business, like, sports all the time, and then it becomes...
You like what you see.
Sports all the time.
Yeah.
And it becomes a job. Interviewing athletes.
Not the best interviews.
Yeah. And, they can be a tough crowd. You know, I got here in 84. I was a feature writer by then with a sports background. The Tiger Beat opened up, which sounds like a magazine. But, but you know, the guy who'd covered the 84 series that year left. And they
who was
asked
that?
Me, Bill McGraw.
I know the name.
Yeah.
Yes. And they asked me if I wanted it. And I thought, I don't want to walk into that clubhouse every day knowing that even the guys you like, and over the course of a season, there's like five guys you become friendly with and five guys who hate you, and everybody else is in the middle. But the fact is, what they all have in common is they wish they didn't have to deal with you.
Yeah. I know Ryan Armani kind of suggested the same thing when he moved out of sports, was that I just didn't feel anybody wanted me around.
Yeah. And you know, when I started, it was the most creative place to be with words in the whole paper. And by the time I left, you know, sort of features had caught up, and I thought, oh, I can sit down at a computer and have fun and not have to have, you know, Rupert Jones glowering at me.
He does seem like the glowering type. Yes. Well, thanks for coming by, Neil, and taking interest in us. As there's still a mainstream media out there.
Yeah, you know, we're harder and harder to find, but by golly, we're there, and it's a delight to be here.
Cool. Well, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, it's huge.
And I want to take a look at this Who video. This is, and Neil's old enough to appreciate this.
There's an old saying in Tennessee. I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you. If fool me, we can't get fooled again.
No, you can't get fooled again.
He always gets me.
And that's, I know,
every time.
I can't, every time I stress, how's he going to wrap this up? I've heard it 50 times. Anyway, the Who are playing toy instruments. Well, Keith's not there. Tom. Pete's playing a toy guitar. I guess it's a ukulele. Fallon's playing a drum. The Roots are playing goofy instruments like kazoos, and somebody's got a little tiny keyboard. What's the keyboard that he's playing with his mouth? The guy in the back?
Yeah, I don't know what they're called. Yeah, where you blow into it and play the... Yeah, I don't know.
Sort of like a guitar, but it's a mouth...
Colbert's guy does that.
Yeah, he does.
Okay. Anyway, this was really funny to watch, and I hate saying that since we're on the podcast, but
Does Daltrey ever take out his take off his shirt?
He does not.
What?
I know.
He's in good enough shape.
Look at Pete playing chords on that tiny little guitar.
Can't hear Pete, though.
Yeah, you can kind of hear him plucking. It's not easy. I dare say this sounds pretty good.
It really does.
Somebody's got a xylophone.
Pretty amazing, especially.
Okay, but watching it, who's the one person you end up focusing on?
Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, it's his show, but
yeah.
I don't know. I like the Fisher Price pianist.
Though. I know.
I mean, I can get that out of that instrument.
I want that bodysuit Pete's wearing.
What is he wearing? I was just thinking that it's bright red.
It looks like a cool prison suit, doesn't it? Like a one piece.
Yeah.
Or a race car driver thing with no patches on.
Oh, yeah,
on.
Yeah.
I can hear more of Jimmy than Roger.
It is Carpool Karaoke-esque in that Corden sings
louder. It's way better, though, because they're actually making the music. Yeah.
Are you going to see them at LCA?
What's the date?
28th.
Of this month?
Not allowed to smoke weed, though, right?
No, you can't smoke weed.
What do you mean you can't smoke weed?
Roger got all mad because people were smoking doobs.
And everyone laughed. Like, they thought he was joking around. He was not joking around.
He was not.
He's allergic. See that story?
He's allergic to it.
I did not see the story. When was this?
No one's allergic to it. Either no one's allergic to it or everyone is, and that's why they do it.
Things that bother people, they just say they're allergic to them. When Evan was a kid, he said he was allergic to milk.
Yeah, and he
was. And being new on the scene, I believed him until he got a milkshake. We're at Baskin Robbins.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. I think he's quite proud of that, actually.
Yeah.
A good move.
He scolded some of the people who are sparking up in front of the stage because he's like, it's going to screw my voice up and then I won't be able to continue singing. So maybe you could ingest that somewhere where it could get into your system quicker. And then Pete brought it home by saying, up your ass.
To Roger?
To the smoker.
What?
Yeah, Pete joined in.
Wow.
Oh, come on.
And then Roger sort of explained later that he was the straight guy in the band. And everybody else around
that just ruined the whole thing for me.
He's kind of a narc.
Why do we play that stupid thing?
He's afraid. He's afraid he'd get the munchies and then eat and wouldn't be able to take his shirt off.
Oh,
that's all about for him.
I don't know. A little bit of pot smoke. They're still a rock band.
I know. It'll all be calmed.
I'm more disappointed in Pete for piling on. He said that I thought Pete was picking on Roger for picking on the fan, but the two of them, I mean, no. I don't know, poor fans.
I think Pete just likes beating up on things if it comes down to guitars and people and whatever.
He punched Abbie Hoffman at Woodstock.
Really?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Abbie Hoffman went on stage to make an announcement probably about the bad acid.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, is this it?
I've got to tell you. Smoking grass down the front here. I'm totally allergic to it. I'm not kidding, whoever it is out there, you fucked my night and you made me
really
pussy.
I'm allergic to that shit, and my voice just goes and sucks up. So fuck you.
It's all strong.
Uh-huh.
Not gonna stop anybody from smoking weed at all.
If it was the fan, if it was the fan on the microphone saying "fuck you" for smoking pot, they would have been probably slain on sight.
By
but Roger says it.
It just goes to show you can say anything from the stage, and everyone's gonna go yay.
Didn't Pete also punch a fire marshal off of a stage at one point?
Cool.
Who was trying to get him off? The building was on fire. I remember reading that story.
There's a few of those stories. I'm trying to remember. Did he hit Abbie Hoffman with his guitar? Did he swing his guitar?
He may have. Either that or this other person, this fire marshal, who's like, the building's burning down. You have to get out. And he's just like, get out of here.
God. That really made the Who. I just feel older that they did that. If they just played the show, I wouldn't. Oh. I'd feel my age.
Roger's a prima donna.
He kind of is, isn't he?
Yeah, he kind of.
I think his glasses say it all.
I do like them though. I think they look good. I have to admit.
Oh, his glasses?
The blue glasses he was wearing.
Really?
I kind of thought they were cool.
Are they like
Oh, you know that whole Roker thing. So that first day he wore those blue frames and everyone loved him because it matched his suit. He did a real news story a couple days later on the NBC Nightly News, and they looked totally out of place for the story he was doing. I think it was about flooding, and all I can think of is, why do you have those clown glasses on?
I know.
It just looks ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
There's a new Black Crowes song today, too.
Black Keys.
Black Crowes? Yeah. Black
Who
Keys?
Said that?
I wish. That would be so great.
You know what I hate, though? I hate when people do something before the video starts.
Yeah.
To be cute. You know, they're kind of suggesting that the two Black Keys don't get along, that they're fighting, and then they go into the song. But it takes a long time. And after you say it once.
Didn't Paul and Michael do that for Say,
yeah,
Say, Say?
Yeah, they did, yeah. And so did Steve Perry for Oh Sherry.
This is a little different for them, but I like it as it goes on. I didn't like it at first.
By the way, what was the worst pre-song video in MTV history?
Oh, man.
There's a few of them.
David Lee Roth for Just a Gigolo when he was doing Dave TV.
Great.
Although
one.
I still love it. It's pretty ridiculous.
Was it 50 Cent having to get shot first before he sang the song about getting shot?
Do you have one in mind?
There were a lot of them. I don't know why I thought of Steve Perry, but I did.
Steve Perry change before? That would explain a lot.
I think he was sitting on some stairs. Very sad.
Aw. I like this tune.
Wow, it's such a retro sound, isn't it?
Yeah, I like it, though. It gets better, too.
They're starting to look different. Like, the one drummer looks like Ed Helms now.
He's packing on pounds, isn't he?
Really? Oh, yeah.
Wow, he does look like him.
Lead singer looks like Tim Robinson.
I like his jacket, though.
He does look like Tim Robinson. You're right.
Oh, they're tripping.
This part, yeah.
Yeah, it's cool.
So anyway, I think there's like, you know, minutes left to the song, and then the edits and the credits come on. There's like a minute and a half left. What? This is a short song. I wanted to keep going.
I think their songs always leave you wanting more. They're always really short songs, but they're always...
I love the Black Keys.
Watch them play live, and they fly through each song. And the tempo's just so fast. No, it's great.
We're about 10 minutes till my man, the Rock Doc. I want to say Brett Ratner. That's the producer. Yeah. Neil Ratner, the Rock Doc. And that's the name of his book, Rock Doc, by Neil Ratner. And before we go there, because we do have a few minutes to kill, Kelly Ripa, I'm just really taken aback by this story because I'm not defensive. I do watch The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, as dumb as they are. They're great hate watches. Mm. And I think we've proven from time to time that a 5-minute clip on the show can be very entertaining in a stupid way, with our commentary, of course. But she, I don't know why. This seems to me almost like a stunt where they're about to have Hannah B., the new Bachelorette, on.
Ugh, okay.
Kelly and Ryan, or Ryan and Kelly, or whatever.
Yeah.
And she comes out to say, I think the Bachelorette is stupid. It sets us back. And all these women fighting over one mediocre guy is terrible.
This is Kelly.
Wait, the Bachelorette or the Bachelor?
The Bachelorette is what's running. That's why right away I said, there's 30 guys fighting over a girl. What are you talking about?
That's empowering, isn't it? Or is that just like every day?
It's pesky.
She turned around and said, well, I think that's dumb, too. But she made it sound like it's some horribly sexist show, and the show reverses every time they do it. So I'm like, what is she talking about? And by the way, the show's only been on for, what, 20 years?
Yeah.
she just started bothering her. And it just so happens that Hannah's on the next day.
Yeah, that sounds like a setup.
And also, The Bachelor, it's funny, Neil and I were talking about before the show, and Neil was saying, it does air on different networks, but I've always watched it on ABC. Mm-hmm. I know it's on a lot of ABC stations, so I thought, well, that's sort of weird. And then Chris Harrison, who's hosted the show forever, and Mike Fleiss, who is, I think, executive producer.
Creator.
They came out to say that the Bachelor pays your salary, Kelly Ripa, or something like that. And But I think, honestly, they were being snarky. I think the suggestion was, look, it makes a lot of money, okay? I mean, is it really the worst thing on television? It's a top 10 show, isn't it?
I believe so.
Yeah, it does really well.
It does very well. So anyway,
doing a story on it right now. And
the ABC, the story I was reading just before we got on was, ABC executives back Kelly Ripa. And they said something about how these two guys are dinosaurs, meaning Chris Harrison and Mike Fleiss. Yeah. Apparently these two jokers can't handle it when a sober, opinionated woman or 22-year-old isn't afraid to talk back to them.
What?
She started it out of nowhere. She took a shot at the show, I mean, implying that it should, you know, be removed, or it's horrible, it sets women back.
Chris Harrison's younger than Kelly Ripa.
He takes a shot, shot back, and all of a sudden, they're the bad. I mean, are we really worried about The Bachelor? I mean, the Miss World pageant's on, Miss USA, which it's always funny to me how they... Oh, we're not doing the swimsuit edition anymore. That's all. No, you get still the hottest chick in every country, the hottest girl in every state you could possibly get on a stage. Mm-hmm. I don't see 200-pound women in the Miss America pageant yet.
Yeah.
Not saying I want to. I'm just saying. It's not terribly evolved.
What I did see this time, though, was the one kini. This is kind of going back a couple weeks, but they had the one kini. And it was, I thought, oh, this is supposed to be more conservative, right? But it's not. It was just...
Right.
There was like a thing connecting it in the middle.
It looked pretty good.
Yeah. It's just as much skin as everything else.
So, is this just a stunt? I mean, because they had Hannah B. on.
Yes.
Because if it's that bad, why are you having the girl on who's the Bachelorette?
How did she respond to it?
She said, I'm gonna explain to her.
Oh, God.
That I made all these friends and we're still friends and... She said all the dumb things. She's Miss North Carolina, so she handled it in a very pageant-like way.
Quiet.
She could have just mentioned the fact that Hannah B. is also in pageants, which maybe that sets women back. I don't know. Does anyone really care about pageants?
No.
I'm kind of amazed they're still around.
Me too.
There's always fucked up parents who want their kids to be in pageants.
Well, there's a scholarship.
I know.
You get your college paid for.
I love the way everyone justifies this crap.
Scholarship.
And Ellen Pompeo jumped into the fray.
What did Ellen Pompeo say?
She said no one ever. She tweeted at Mike Fleiss saying, your show does not pay Kelly Ripa. We do not attack successful women on our network.
Of course, that's generated controversy.
Our network.
It seems that way, too.
Pompeo still have a show on ABC?
She's on Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, that's still on?
I guess, yeah.
Are you shitting me? I had no idea. I honestly thought that ended 5 years ago. I still don't believe it.
For the record, I found out it was still on 10 minutes before you did.
I don't believe it. I'm honestly looking it up because I don't believe it.
I think it is.
No one watches it, but it's on.
Season 15.
I think it's still on Thursday night. Talking
about a couple of dinosaurs. Who watches that?
I think
no one.
I think it still does okay. I don't know if it does as well as it used to, but yeah,
it's
wait,
like an old shoe.
Wait, Grey's Anatomy, is that the show George Clooney was on?
No, it's ER. No. Wait, don't tell me ER's still on.
No, I don't think so.
Is George Clooney still on TV?
Maybe.
I don't know anymore. I can't believe that Grey's Anatomy is still on.
George Clooney, you've been reading about all that? You've been seeing that?
Are you guys sad that?
But do you guys, okay, I know I'm being ridiculously oversensitive here, and I'm really not upset about it, but isn't The Bachelor getting kind of dumped on here? She started it. They took a swat back, which was, you know, it was nothing worse than what she said. I mean, she's essentially saying the show has no right to exist. They're saying, we pay you, Kelly Ripa, bitch. And then everybody else is like, you should not pay Kelly Ripa. We don't attack successful women on our network. And then two jokers can't handle it when a sober, opinionated woman or over 22 years old isn't afraid to talk back to them. Why are they the bad guys?
Well, I think they're just easy to pound on because it is kind of a ridiculous show, but
they
it makes a ton of money.
She started it. I mean, to me, this is like Pearl Harbor. She started it. They should end it. I mean, I would come back three times as hard. She started out of nowhere.
Did you mention?
And she has a guest on the next day, and she's going to be a bitch to the guest.
Did you mention Pompeo's hashtag in her tweet, by the way?
What was it?
Bachelor so white. Because there's all white guys
hashtag
on there.
Slut.
Oh, please. You know, whatever.
She's married to a
black guy. The way, they have a lot of black guys on The Bachelor. There's like...
well, she chose one. Ellen Pompeo did.
Okay.
It's fine.
How many guys were on there? 25 or 30 guys, and there were like seven black guys.
I do want a black bachelor, though.
Black dude?
I think it'd be fun.
I think they probably will.
Mix it up a little bit.
And it's really funny when people
Asian?
Do stuff
Why
like
not?
That. Because honestly,
maybe
I think
a fat guy?
I think she's just wrong.
Maybe a poor guy? Evan Marriott. What's Evan Marriott doing? Get him on the phone.
Poor guy.
If, he was the
if
next
there was
bachelor.
A new show with Evan Marriott, I would absolutely watch it. There's no question. In fact, I would be in a hurry to watch it.
That would be really cool. The Poor Bachelor.
How can Grey's Anatomy? Why is Grey's Anatomy still on, but Joe Millionaire only made it 2 years?
And it had gigantic ratings. How were the ratings the second season? Should we start
They're
a hashtag?
Phenomenal. Yeah, bring back Joe Millionaire.
Do you remember Average Joe? Do you remember that one? It's where they had all the kind of dorky looking dudes, and it was basically the exact same thing. There was like 15 dorky dudes. There was a hot chick, and they were all vying for her love.
Oh, okay.
And then halfway through it, they brought in like 10 hot guys, and of course, she ended up picking a hot guy in the end.
Oh, that's right.
Could you imagine if it was flipped and it was the other way around? How terrible that would be.
The Rock Doc is going to be with us in a second, so I will tell you that. Zach Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Spring Sales Event. Didn't mean to cut everybody off here, but
sorry.
I'm going to get these in before the Rock Doc. If you're wondering what all the excitement is about, during Zot Spring Sales Event, you can lease a new 19 Ram Bighorn 4x4 as low as $166 a month. Or lease a new loaded 19 Jeep Compass as low as $198 a month. If you want to move the whole family around in total luxury, lease a 19 Chrysler Pacifica for $292 a month. Plus, last month's employee pricing worked out so well for Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, they decided to do it again. So while supplies last, employee pricing on all new 18 Jeep Wranglers in stock, that's something nobody else is doing for you. See details and surf their massive inventory at dealsindeed.com. And then call Dr. Yaldo, who sponsors everything on the Red Shovel Network. He and David Hall both. As Dr. Yaldo's got the custom cat's LASIK, the most advanced in the world. People get better than 20/20 vision. And the multifocal lens implants for people 45 or older who want great, great far vision and never need annoying reading glasses again. Eli says the multifocal implants rid him of glasses, reading glasses. And many of you have also raved about how great it was to throw away your glasses and readers and contacts. And Trudy got the regular LASIK. And she picked up the designer sunglasses from Yaldo.
Yes.
Pretty sweet.
No, because I lose every single pair that I have. So,
Make the call. Get up to half off custom LASIK this week if you mention Drew and Mike at 1-800-398-EYES. And Luke Nowacki, finally. If you got a 401k and you're not sure about your investment options, Luke's a great guy to talk to. Or maybe you're trying to orchestrate your college education and save for that, or you just don't have a retirement plan, call Luke Nowacki's team at 248-663-4748. Security Investment Advisory Services offered through Royal Alliance Associates, Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC. Royal Alliance Associates, Incorporated, separately owned and other entities and or marketing. Names, product, services, reference here, independent of Royal Alliance Associates, Incorporated. And the Rock Doc did production for Pink Floyd back in the day, and now he's got a book about all his rock docking and his rocking. originally a drummer, later a doctor, here's Mr. Neil Ratner. Hey, Neil.
Hey, good afternoon. How's everybody over there?
Great.
Good. We're just rocking out like you rock, Doc.
It's funny that you come in during that part of the Pink Floyd song, because that's where they give them the little pinprick written into a song. I don't know where they got all that.
Yes, it is.
You know, when I was reading about the Pink Floyd segment, I was thinking, there had to be some night there was some big technical snafu with Pink Floyd. There's so many things with a Pink Floyd show, and the lasers and the light show and all that.
Pigs.
Was there ever a, you know, pig, animals, of course. Was there ever a debacle,
you know,
of some sort?
Every night.
Really?
Well, I mean, you know, we were back in the day of analog stuff. So there were no computers, there were no cell phones. We were carrying huge amounts of equipment, all kinds of new effects that had never been really tried and used before, trying to do quadraphonic sound. So, you know, nothing ever major enough for us to have to cancel a show or even delay a show. But every day there was something.
Who was the, of all the, because you toured with a lot of people, AC/DC, Edgar Winter, Johnny Winter, and I know Rick Derringer
T-Rex.
Hooked you up with the Winter Brothers, right? Was it Rick Derringer?
Yeah.
Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo.
Actually, he's a Detroiter. Actually, Rick Derringer was the one who got me into the music business. I was a drummer. And I was in college, and I had taken a summer sublet in the East Village, an apartment in the East Village of Manhattan in the summer of 1969. I was a pre-med student at the University of Vermont, having given up on the idea of being in a band and getting a record contract and going after my other goal of becoming a doctor. So I took this summer sublet, and within the first couple of days, I hear music coming from upstairs. Hmm. And I have to investigate being a musician. Knock on the door. Guy opens the door, invites me in. And lo and behold, it's Rick Derringer, who's just starting to play with Johnny Winter. And Rick and I become good friends over the course of the summer. He lets me into his little world. I invite him to come hear me play the drums in a little band that I'm in this summer.
That part didn't go so well.
Yeah. And by the end of the summer, you know, I said, hey, I'm going back school, but you know, people, get me a gig as a drummer.
That didn't work out so well either.
I was surprised when the phone rang 6-8 months later, and it was Rick. And he gives me this big build up as Edgar, Johnny's brother, forming a new band, and I'm ready for him to say, and you're the drummer, and he says, we want you to be the road manager.
Oh.
Yeah, and it really blew up from there with all these other developments. But yeah, that was where it started. But I wanted to stop with Edgar and Johnny, because we were kind of putzing around thinking, gee, I wonder what, you know, being albino. I was always like, hey, these guys can rock, and they're albino. I mean, it was just that, it was something that you always knew. But I mean, was there ever a moment where them being albino, where something happened, like one of them got, you know, somebody threw him in the sun and wouldn't let him out or something?
Well, no, but I'll tell you.
Really?
What
that never happened?
No, that never happened.
Could it?
Seems like your friends would do it to you.
Certainly, what did happen was the fact that...
Wait, can I pause for one second? I just want to mention that my girlfriend in high school was in a pom-pom routine to this song.
It's a free ride?
Yeah.
Hot.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Privately?
It was quite good.
Seems like you remember every move.
Not really. I just remember that it seemed like a big deal at the time.
a great song.
It probably was. It probably was a big deal at the time. I'm quite sure.
I'm sorry.
But,
anyway,
you know, being albino, you know, I was with Edgar, you know, in the early 70s, and we would play some really small markets, you know, because nobody really knew who Edgar was. They were just getting to know who Johnny was.
When you say small, what's small, Rock Doc?
What's small? You know,
like Columbus, Ohio,
Nyack, New York.
Yeah, Columbus, Ohio, Nyack, New York, Westport, Connecticut. I remember playing in a high school in Westport, Connecticut. That's small enough.
Huh. Wow. Did they have a record deal then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We
I
had a
so.
Record deal, and it was Edgar Winter's White Trash. That was the band. It was his first band.
Nice.
And,
I never heard that name before.
Deal.
White. The band was White Trash.
That's
I didn't
awesome.
Know. It was, that's. Has there it's ever been another
name.
Band in White Trash? That's almost too cool.
No, it is cool.
No, I don't think there was. And you should pull up some of that music because that was incredible R&B flavored, Blue Eyed Soul, big horn band. I mean, you know, it was
so
great. It was
trashy.
Great. That was a great band. Mm-hmm. Great band.
Okay.
But we would play these small places where people had never seen an albino. And so, you know, you can imagine the reaction, not of the people who came to see Edgar, because music people were music people, but we'd go into, you know, the Holiday Inn or a local restaurant or something like that. And, yeah, the looks were pretty severe.
Wow.
And it was like, who's that freak, you know? So,
right. Well,
yeah, and that way, being albino, and of course, you know, Edgar was legally blind. So he always had to be, you know, led around.
Oh,
and he really couldn't see very well, and that was always a challenge.
Wow, I completely forgot about that. You know, but before you go too far, because, you know, we only have so much time, I got to get to Michael Jackson, because I sped ahead in the book to read about Michael Jackson, because of course he's a fascinating person, the biggest entertainer in the world when you were around him, and you were prescribing him propofol, which is eventually what killed him. And I mean, first of all, do people do that? Because the propofol, when he died, it was like, oh my God, who does that? And then I'm reading this book, and I'm, well, the rock doc did, and this Dr. Murphy
well, no,
did.
No,
and...
no. Wait.
Whoa.
No. If we're going to tell that story, then we got to tell the right story.
All right. Go.
I didn't prescribe him propofol.
No, you didn't prescribe him. You helped him go to sleep with propofol. Is that fair?
Correct.
For 3 hours.
Medically created treatment, controlled by me in every way, shape, and form. And let me just back up a little bit.
Well, can I ask you something, Rock Doc? Can I ask you something real quick? If yeah. Let's just say that I was an anesthetist. Is that the right word? Anesthetist?
Well, no, anesthesiologist.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm an anesthesiologist. Thank you.
Anesthetist is the non-MD version.
okay.
Right.
I'm the big guy. And I find out that you and Michael Jackson have worked out this thing. Would I likely approve or disapprove?
If you heard the full story and you read the book.
No, I didn't hear the full story.
No, it's very important. The context is everything. You know, just saying
Well, just to answer this, because you took umbrage at my description, and I understand that, but do lots of people work this out with patients where they put them to sleep with propofol for 3 hours for sleeping problems?
No,
all right. That's all I was trying to say.
No, it was a unique treatment created for one individual. In the hands of an expert in the use of that particular medication.
Yeah.
And
it was
a medication.
Okay, let me ask you this. If I were, let's just say, I couldn't sleep and it's worse than Michael Jackson, would you and I work out the propofol thing?
You know, just...
I'm just me.
What if you wrote Thriller?
You know, it's unlikely. No.
Okay.
This was a very unique kind of circumstance.
Because it's Michael Jackson.
It was just designed.
Yeah.
Well, not just because it's Michael Jackson, but he was
no.
He was in a seriously bad situation that I felt I could help. And it wasn't. Wait a second. It wasn't just about sleep. The two other problems were worse than the sleep: the dehydration and the poor nutrition.
But he's
and
an adult. Why doesn't he drink some water? I mean, rather than the propofol.
Why doesn't anybody? I mean,
to go on propofol instead of drinking more water or more fluid, really? Because I read about
there was serious problems. He called upon me. I consulted with other physicians. I came up with a treatment that I felt would be safe and effective in my hands as a temporary stopgap measure.
It does seem like
him to something better.
It seems like the
healthier lifestyle.
The dehydration and the nutritional issues were kind of separate issues.
And continuing.
They weren't separate.
They were separate issues, but they needed to be addressed because that was part of the reason that he couldn't perform, that he got freaked out, that he couldn't sleep. Right. No, it was all connected. They weren't separate issues.
Did you ever see him eat?
Did I ever see him eat?
Yeah.
I ate with him on multiple occasions.
Oh. Well, could you have him eat more?
Yeah.
What?
Go ahead, Drew.
As I got along in the book, though, the dehydration thing kept coming up, and I'm thinking, this guy's an adult. He's grown up. He bought kids from Debbie Rowe. He's got children. Why doesn't he drink water or do something?
Well, because it's not like normal people drinking water if you're a performer and you're sweating out huge amounts of fluids. Some people.
Well, I don't think John Mellencamp is on propofol. John Mellencamp's not dehydrated.
Well, John Mellencamp doesn't dance.
Everybody's different.
Well, does BTS, do they are they dehydrated all the time?
Oh,
the K-pop
dancing.
Band? Yeah. I don't know. I'm asking. It just seemed weird to me that he's always dehydrated.
Well, everybody has different kinds of problems. Everybody has different kinds of medical situations.
But he has every resource
has to be
in the world.
Individually and uniquely based on those problems.
Huh. Okay. I'm not trying to judge. I'm just trying to understand it. And the other thing is, having just come off this...
To understand it, you need to hear the whole story. You need to hear why, how it was done. I gave him the treatment. I gave him the treatment 25 times in 8 years. This was not every day. This was not every week. 25 times in 8 years. Always determined by me based on exactly what was going on.
Right.
And my comfort level.
Moving on, and I'm not trying to be that way, but Michael Jackson has been so much on our mind lately because we just saw the documentary Leaving Neverland, and I couldn't help but wonder if you had seen that, because it seems to me that the guy in that documentary was someone you knew. Doodoo Head.
I did. No, first of all, the people in the documentary were Wade Robson and James Sacheck, neither of which I knew.
Oh, I thought one of them said he called him Doodoo Head in the documentary.
Is Doodoo Head Geordie?
No, he might well have, but I didn't know them. I didn't know Geordie Chandler. I didn't know any of those kids.
Oh.
Well, Geordie Chandler, though, you knew of because you said that case had just been dropped, although it wasn't dropped.
Yeah,
you paid him $23 million.
I knew of it only from a standpoint of what everybody else knew of it, and I met Michael shortly after that whole situation had occurred.
And you said in the book, and I fully agreed with you, that after this Geordie Chandler thing, which he was very upset about, he brings this other child on the tour, and they're dressing in matching clothes, and that's, how strange is that? Didn't that seem just horribly, horribly strange after this kid gets him in the news, he pays him off, and then another one?
Yes, it seems strange, and because of that, I was extra vigilant. I wanted to be sure as a medical professional, as a human being, there was nothing strange going on. And I observed very carefully as an anesthesiologist. We're very good observers. That's what we do for a living. And I could tell you, in the 8 years that I was with Michael, I didn't see any of the kind of behavior that was described in the documentary. That was not the Michael.
Well, no. Would he invite you in the room for that kind of behavior, though?
Well, would he invite me in the room? No, of course he wouldn't invite me in the room.
I wouldn't if I was doing
that. I was around enough to know who he was with and what he was doing when I was around.
Now,
and I can tell you clearly, when I was around, none of that stuff was going on.
Probably more importantly,
Where did the 12-year-old stay? Where did the kid, Doodoo Head, where did he stay? Didn't he ever stay in Michael Jackson's room?
Not that I saw, no.
Oh.
Well, that's probably yes, I guess.
No, I just said no.
We said not that I know. I mean,
I know, but I was there. I knew who was in what rooms and what was going on. I was, I spent time with Michael in various places when I was with him, and I knew who he was with, and I knew when he went to sleep and who he went to sleep with. I was with him, he was not a pedophile. That kind of behavior did not go on. I would not have tolerated it.
Well,
it
was in depositions.
It was
he was deposed and acknowledged sleeping in a bed with a 10-year-old for, I think, 360 some days in a row. So we know he slept in a bed with a child.
It didn't happen when I was.
No, I'm not saying it did. You've made yourself clear. You talked about Lisa Marie Presley too, and which was interesting because I she was there. They're making out at the end of the MTV Awards, and then some said this would never last. And then it was over like a year later? 2 years later? It wasn't long.
Yeah.
Did they seem like a real couple to you?
Yeah. In the time that, of course, I met Lisa at the tail end of their marriage. And, yeah, she seemed to really be concerned. Michael seemed to have, you know, the way he explained it to me, they had known each other for a very long time because back in the day when her father would play Las Vegas, Michael would go see her when they were playing around the area and stuff. So they had known each other for a very long time and had established an interesting relationship.
Wait, when
didn't
her
work
father,
out in the end.
Wait, did you say when her father played?
Yeah, when Elvis played Elvis, Vegas, yeah. She would go to the shows. Right. Michael would.
She'd have been like six.
Yeah.
He'd have been a little older, I guess.
They were really young.
Not much older. They were both little kids.
Yeah.
Perfect couple,
so apparently
sure.
They were introduced to each other and they would cross paths periodically and developed a relationship over the years.
But I
saw them even after their wedding when Michael invited Lisa Marie to come to South Africa when he was playing, and they still had a very close relationship.
Hmm. When he was in the emergency room for the dehydration the one time, and you were called
kind
in.
Of soft.
It's like a sore throat.
Yeah.
Then she was also at his bedside, and then after she left the room or something like that, he said, what did he say to you? I don't know.
No, she, he was in the intensive care unit in one of the cubicles. She was in the cubicle. I got to the hospital. Michael invited me in. I left. She followed me out. And then she confronted me and said, you know, I don't know who you are. I know you're one of Michael's doctors. I don't like doctors. They killed my father, and they're not going to kill my husband. Which is pretty heavy.
Didn't he make you take a phone call from her once when you guys were in the room because he didn't want to talk to her?
He did.
Yeah.
He did. That's right. After he left the hospital and I went back to the hotel with him, we were just hanging out. The phone rang. He told me to pick it up, and it was Lisa Marie. And at that point, he wasn't too happy with her.
What was she mad about?
No, I don't think she was mad. He just didn't want to talk to her. I didn't want to get into their
cooties.
Personal
what
stuff.
A baby.
So I didn't really ask.
He's in ICU for dehydration. So,
what was it like riding? So he gives you a private tour of Neverland, and you go out, and he's got these golf carts, and he said, "Batmobile one's mine, but you can have any of the other ones." And then he drove you around in the Batmobile golf cart. Nothing entered your head like this is a little weird.
No, I've been with lots of rock stars, and I've seen a lot weirder behavior than that.
Like what?
Really?
Yeah.
Like what?
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
We went on tour with Alice Cooper during the Billion Dollar Babies tour.
Oh.
And if you saw the shit
cool.
That went on stage and the way he acted,
but that's on stage.
He was a crazy guy.
Yeah.
I understand, and even at partying afterwards, but if you got him in a hotel room and you started talking to him, you realize that this was just a different persona. There were two sides to most performers that I worked with.
Yeah.
And when they're on the tour, when they're on the road touring, all kinds of crazy stuff goes on, but in their real life, they're not quite like that.
Well, you
so I've
with...
seen a lot of crazy kind of behavior from all kinds of crazy rock stars.
Who was
that kind of thing? Didn't seem strange to me at all. Actually,
was Roger Waters just a complete like discipline freak, or was there a crazy edge to him as well?
You know, I was involved in the production, so I really spent very little time with the band. I was much more concerned with the sound, lighting, logistics, all the equipment, et cetera, et cetera. And although I knew the band members, I didn't really spend time with them or get to know them too well, so I couldn't really answer.
What about, you know, in terms of, you know, running a tour or running production, was anybody particularly exacting or maybe just a little harder to please than all the others? Because you worked with a lot of these bands.
You know, usually there was one member of every group who paid a lot more attention to that than everybody else.
who would those guys? Who would those guys be?
The one circumstance that I remember was on an Emerson, Lake and Palmer tour, and the road crew got fed up. You know, they were working too hard, too many hours, whatever. And they said, "We're not doing it. We're just going to go on strike. We want more money, whatever." And Greg Lake said, "Really?" And he started to, he took a pad and a pencil, and he went around and started mapping all the wires, everything. He said, quit, I don't care, I don't care.
Wow.
And, you know, he was that in control of every aspect of things that even that didn't shake him. And he was prepared to get new people, rewire it, do it himself if he had to. So
well, can you
I think
see?
That's a good example.
Greg, like
that's
doing
a great example. That's
showing up, wiring the show, then doing sound check, then doing the show, then
exactly,
breaking it down.
Exactly. Well, that's sort of what he was saying he could do.
Wow.
No, it's kind of cool
but
in a way.
You, he impressed the road crew. He freaked them out, and they came back to work. So that was the end of that.
Wow.
I know you worked with Humble Pie and Peter Frampton by extension. Peter is, we've talked to him a number of times, and he's really just, he's one of my favorite people in the business to talk to. He's just a great interview. He's smart. He's funny. But he always kind of alludes to being a little crazier, a little more out of control back in the day. Was he somebody you liked working with?
Yeah, I liked working with Peter very much. I met right after he had left Humble Pie, and he was still being managed by Dee Anthony, and I was Dee's special assistant. And so Peter wasn't that busy, and I actually got to hang out with him and spend some time with him, both in America and Europe. And I have to agree with you, one of the nicest guys you ever want to meet.
Yeah.
Was he crazier then? We were all crazier then. We were all young and crazy. And, yeah. You know, Peter was a good-looking guy, so, of course, all the girls were around all the time.
Sure.
Yeah,
but he was a good guy, and let me just say this, and I'm sure your listeners know. Go out and see him on this final tour, because this is the final tour, because I'm sure you know he has this terrible neuromuscular disease.
I know. I hope it's not the final tour, because this guy plays so well, and you know if he can, he will. But you're right. It could be the last time out. I hope not, but he'd be a great guy to see.
Yeah, I hope not, too. He's a great guy. Everybody should see him. One of the great unsung guitar players. So, yeah, I only have good things to say about Peter.
Rock Doc by Neil Ratner. How's the book doing, Neil?
We're doing okay. Starting to get the name around. Starting to sell some books. You know, when you're a self-published author, not so easy.
So what's the best way for people to get the book?
They could get it on Amazon, and it's available in all formats as an audio book, which is kind of a kick because there's a lot of dialogue in the book. I did it myself.
Wow.
I'm the narrator, and I'm all the voices.
Wow.
Or an ebook or a regular book all through Amazon. Or you could go to my website, neilratnerrockdoc.com. If you buy a book from there, I'll autograph it for you any way you want.
Nice. Hey, Neil, real quick, why did you end up going to prison? I have not gotten to that part of the book yet, so spoiler alert, everybody.
I started office-based anesthesia in New York. I started with cosmetic and reconstructive surgery. In the late 80s, I saw that fertility was this new specialty, and all of a sudden there were many fertility experts in New York. I knew that they were going to have to build outside operating rooms, and I knew they'd need an anesthesiologist before they even knew it. So I solicited them, and I had a big practice in the fertility business. We thought insurance companies would pay for at least the first cycle, and so we all billed the insurance companies. Insurance companies said, no, this is elective surgery. I had a doctor, a gynecologist, very prominent guy, who said every woman deserves the right to have a baby. I'm going to bill these procedures as gynecological procedures.
Oh.
You can do what you like. I felt I was on solid ground because I was outsourced by him. I didn't overbill. I charged regular numbers, and my anesthesia was good. Unfortunately, though, we did it for 10 years. Eventually got caught. I got put up in the web.
Oh.
I cooperated with the government. But I got 4 months in federal prison, was 4 months in a bracelet, 3 years anyway.
So you went to prison.
It's a great story in the book, great part of the book.
You went to prison for a vagina, in essence. So
you got it. And wait, here's the worst part of it, Trudy. Here's the worst part of it. 6 months after I got out, New York State passed a law that the insurance companies were mandated that they had to cover the first cycle.
See, you were right all along.
Oh, boy. Well, yeah, you're ahead of your time, Rock Doc.
Yeah, you are.
Neil Ratner, R-A-T-N-E-R, and the website one more time, Neil.
It's Neil Ratner, NeilRatnerrockdoc.com.
Thank you.
Bye, Rat.
Good luck.
Thank you, guys.
Okay.
Thanks for the time.
You bet.
Bye now.
Rock Doc!
Woo! Wow. That was intense.
Boy, he's in love with Michael Jackson, of course, like everyone.
That laugh seemed to disappear when you started questioning him about Jackson.
He held in there, though. He stayed. Yeah. He stayed with him. But it really...
Yeah.
Everybody kind of wears, you know, rose-colored glasses.
No,
I don't know.
How can he know? You mean tell me that Neil Ratner, the rock doc, I've watched a lot of stuff on Michael Jackson. I've never really seen Neil Ratner all that much. I would think if somebody could really say that he didn't do these things, that it might be somebody.
Right. Yeah.
Besides Neil. Maybe.
Oh, well.
I don't know. it's just hard to believe. I mean, we know on those tours, he separated those kids from their parents. And some tours the parents didn't go on.
Maybe Neil feels like he should have known or should have seen it.
Well, you know what? At some point, I'm sure you can't. It's something that you really can't say one way or the other definitively. Hey, you know what? The great thing is the family's together because Blanket and Prince have a show now.
Oh, it's great, too.
Together.
Blanket's personality is
really?
Magnetic.
What in the world show? What is this? Come on, are you kidding
it's
me?
It's in Brendan's prep.
We review the Avengers. We talk about movies.
Let's talk about anything. Did you listen?
Really bad. They don't set it up very. I don't know who this host is.
Show. Thanks for joining us. We were supposed to start this probably about a month ago with us, right? We all saw it. We were going to review it.
This is
this is called us. Yeah, just us. But it took some time to set up. But we're here, and we'll be reviewing movies.
Wait, are those like Tito's kids or something?
Yeah, and so thank you for joining us.
I don't know. I have no idea
so
who those other
the
two guys
gritty.
Are.
We chose a great first movie. What do we choose?
Yeah, I think we should start. Oh, yeah. Avengers.
It's Blanket. It.
I think we should start with talking about each individual character.
He sounds just like
the first
Michael.
Six Avengers.
Okay.
Just talk with
ignorant
movie.
Fool.
Do you guys want to start with Hulk?
Okay, first of all, we got to say that this is a spoiler warning. Okay?
This is not a spoiler. There's too many.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Thank you, guys.
Wow, is that terrible?
And it goes on for another, let's see, how long is this podcast? It is.
Is it 45 minutes.
Is it the last one? Oh, that's the first one. Sorry.
It's the first one.
And the last.
I suspect it's one of those that'll probably get a lot of wax because it's the two Jackson kids. But generally, kids of stars, people, you just have to be really, really good or it's just going to go by
it's
the
only
wayside.
It's only got 56,000. Who wants to hear these
I'm
people?
Surprised. I would think you get more.
Well, who wants to hear them talk about the Avengers?
I know.
I mean, I know they honestly, love movies and all that.
I want to sneak into theaters without being noticed sometime.
I realize that he bought these children from Debbie Rowe, and he paid handsomely for them, but it doesn't make him very interesting to me.
I want to hear Prince talk about his dad, dermatologist.
Arnie Klein.
That's I don't know. I'll jump ahead 30 minutes and
they're
see.
They're not talking about it.
What happened? He's like, I thought I lived some of that life that Tony was telling me I should get. And I thought that was like a pretty, that was a cool line. Because, you know, you could tell he wanted to just, you know, be happy and get his dance with his girl.
Hey,
that was
totally
false. Oh. What if they use Michael
Jackson drops? Blanket's eating. Blanket's eating on the show.
He's eating pizza.
He's chowing down.
Yeah.
Blanket is traumatized from almost falling off a balcony.
And for being named Blanket.
This is their segment.
I'm really
whenever
shy.
They go,
I'm embarrassed.
Whenever they go from topic to
I'm really shy. Oh, I'm
sorry.
Embarrassed.
Whenever they go from topic to topic, they just kind of have a little segue sounder. It's just.
It'd be good if they did.
Nice. Right into the next one.
The best part of that show. How dumb.
Oh, boy.
It's stupid.
So did...
ignorant.
I saw the Colorado shooter in court again.
Yeah, he changed his look.
It's more fuchsia. How is his hair more fuchsia than it was? He shoots 9 people in a high school. He goes into court with hair hanging over his eyes. I was so pissed. I wanted him buzz cut so bad.
Yes.
Buzz cut him. You know he's in love with his hair. And not only did they not buzz cut him, he goes in and his hair is more fuchsia. What did he call for a hairstylist in his cell?
He got a makeover because he has glasses now.
It's a haircut.
I saw the cell. The glasses. Yeah, he had nice glasses.
I don't know how you get that. That's kind of a complex hair process there to put.
Yeah.
Just strip color and put another one in.
It looks like it's more. I swear to God, I saw him on TV this morning. He looks like he's more fuchsia than he did. And I got pissed.
Well, how do you defend that guy? Mainly because
of
his
know.
Hair.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's instant hate, yeah. Isn't it?
Well, yeah. And then, I mean, seriously,
here's
for
a person
jury?
Who did something heinous and look, you know.
And looks like an asshole.
And look at his hair.
The jury's going to look at that, which is good. I want him to, you know.
Have you noticed how much time, whenever they do this story, they spend so much time making sure to properly call Mia, who now likes to be called Alec. And I always feel like, why do they have to use an extra 5 seconds to tell me who this person is? Why don't they just call this person Alec?
Yeah, instead
because
of,
if we're following the story, we know that this is a female transitioning.
Yeah, we met her.
Still a female to the police.
Why should we know any
what
of that?
That means too, but she likes to be called Alec, and I'm really not that worried about what she likes to be called because she shot up a school. Yeah. So I kind of fuck him and or
know,
whatever.
And we know him as Alec, so I don't care about the past. It's a murdering
I know,
Alec.
But every time I see the story, they feel they have to explain all this, and I just get in. It's like, this takes so long.
That's not the person.
Nobody knows who the hell he is or she, although they put he, but probably that's a little disguise. That means it's she.
Trump's pissed about it too.
How is he so on everything?
Because he comments on everything.
You know, I was kind of excited about was Brandon. Can you bring up today on TMZ? I couldn't help laughing. The Safari, the rapper, he's the guy that Nicki Minaj stabbed.
Oh yeah.
So it was her boyfriend, and. He was at a pro-fur rally. And first of all, I was like,
wait, what?
There's a pro-fur rally.
I didn't know there was a pro-fur contingent.
I didn't know. But, you know, people wear fur and they get blood thrown on them. And
yeah.
It seems like, you know, there should be a pro-fur rally. I mean, there are two sides. People would say, you can never wear fur. And then apparently there is this, I don't know, maybe it was the first one ever. And I'm not saying I would go or anything. I don't wear fur. I don't care. But it was really the conversation. There's a couple things Safari says. Most of it's really dumb, but there are a couple things where you go, maybe he's on something there. Because he's like, I'm not torturing animals. I walk in the store and buy a fur. Which is true. I mean, he can't untorture the animal. I know what he's saying.
But if he wasn't there to buy it, would they sell it is kind of the idea.
Well, but okay, wait.
I'm just saying. That's the counter to that.
Can I say this? That if they're torturing the animals, then why are those furs in stores? Why aren't the people torturing the animals being stopped? Why isn't there a law about selling the animals that they torture as fur coats or whatever?
Why, isn't that what they want? The fur ban? They want the ban.
Yeah, they do, but
them.
They don't have one. So, yeah. I mean, how do we know everything this one side, which we always hear from? I mean, I've never heard from the pro fur side before.
Me either.
So I was curious to see what Safari would have to say. I'm not sure he's the best representative, by the way.
Leave us alone! Stop picking on us! Leave us alone! Our fur, our right, our choice, our right!
Animal abuser!
I didn't do it!
He's wearing a huge fur.
He's a hoodie under it. Men being killed every day. Worry about that.
Well, go protest that. Go live stream that protest.
Fuck you, idiot! Go suck your mother! When the point of your blood clot mother pussy hole, go suck on the mama! You know some blood clot idiot! When the point of the mama! Shame upon your blood clot mama!
Huh?
No, he took time out of his day. What?
Was that the point that you
understood? No. It's the TMZ, the show, Brandon. And I think he comes
very
on.
Very well spoken and on point.
Yeah.
I think it comes on right.
On the TV?
Yeah, the TV show. I think it comes on right after the Trump interruption for the immigration discussion, which broke into programming. And then it starts, I think TMZ like kicks in maybe 5 minutes into the 3 o'clock hour. It's funny because Charles and Harvey just will not give an inch on this. But Safari, I sort of respected him just for saying something. Not that it was really
that's fine.
A great point. It was just funny to hear someone. I've never seen anyone argue the pro-fur side before. Yeah. I think this is a first, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely is.
And he's wearing a huge fur.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't do it.
He walks the walk.
He does.
They were there, about 100 reports, or about 150 people. One of them, leading them, Safari from Love & Hip Hop was there and just went off. We're going to have Safari on live in a minute. Here's what happened.
No fur ban!
Okay, I saw all this.
Jeez, thanks for listening to the podcast, TMZ.
Well, he didn't do it.
Against the people who are anti-fur. So, joining us now to talk about it. Let's joining us is Safari. Safari, welcome to TMZ.
It's just great
live.
We can have this conversation
about
fur.
How y'all doing?
We're good. So, You are angry. I mean, you do understand that there are a lot of people who are against the sale of fur because they torture the animals to make the fur, right?
Of course I understand it. And I'm definitely not being, like, you know, blind to that. But as far as being a consumer of that, that's just not something, like, we're not on that side of the fence. Like, I'm not going to be that technical about it, even though I understand what's going on, and say that because that's happening that I can't wear it. It would be like telling people, like, you know, oh, you guys don't support what's happening to animals. Don't eat McDonald's anymore and don't go to steakhouses. But I'm
there is a difference. I know what you're saying about, you know, if you eat meat that the cows are killed. But there's a difference here. What we're talking about.
Torture.
Is torture. It's the way that the animals are killed.
Isn't being killed, isn't that kind of a bummer too?
Well, yeah. That's not a part of the defense that I'm on. I've never walked into a store and seen an animal being tortured. I walked in and I just see coats on racks and, you know, that's the side of the fence I'm on. Telling you, whatever's going on.
So, he doesn't want to see how the sausage is made.
So if there were
he couldn't change it by not buying the coat.
Shop in China that was paying people wages where they literally had to beg for food and they were chained to a sewing machine and they were making clothes. Would you buy those clothes?
I don't know if that is happening, so I wouldn't really go off of
they're not doing it at the store.
It is. I mean, not that extreme, but if there were that kind of torture with people, would you buy the clothes since you wouldn't have seen them making them?
I wouldn't, but that's my whole thing. These people, and it's like so much other people, I feel like people care more about what's going on with animals than they do to humans. Like, I'm not saying it's right.
But you thoroughly can care agree about with both things, right? I mean, there's room to care about humans being brutalized and also animals.
I have a small puppy. I have a small little a poodle in New York, and I love them to death.
I want to go back to that video yesterday. I know there were a lot of people there who felt the same way you did. As far as I could tell, you were the only one who showed up wearing fur. Like,
a giant fur.
Did you feel that was really antagonizing the opposition?
Like,
everybody
else
came out with their shirts on saying they were against the fur ban, but you came out in a fur coat, actually.
Well, it was very cold yesterday morning.
Come on. Well, it ain't cold right now.
What happened to its coat?
It wasn't cold.
My room is freezing right now. My room is 55 degrees, and the AC is broke, and it's staying at that, and I can't turn it up.
That's why you want to turn up the heat.
But yesterday in City Hall, it was very cold. It's still winter in New York. It's been raining the past 15 out of the past 16 days. I'm cold.
It's weird that nobody else was wearing a coat, though, so obviously they didn't feel...
Hey, they left their furs in the car.
I see some coats.
So you basically don't care how it's made. You just want to wear it.
It ain't about not caring how it's made. That is not my side of the, like, I'm not there. That has nothing to do with me.
Let me ask you this. If I sent you a YouTube video how they do it, would you look at it?
I would definitely look at it.
And then would it change your mind? Because then you would
have
the knowledge.
If you watched them suffer, would it change your mind?
Are y'all vegan? What do y'all eat?
No, not vegan. I'm not, but that's not what we're talking about.
It's the same thing.
No, it's not.
No, Safari,
it's not. It is.
And I'm not trying to berate you.
Is killing an animal, I mean, if you're really so into the anti-fur argument, is killing an animal not torturing an animal? I mean, you're killing it.
It is interesting that nobody talks about leather.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, I don't really want to have this argument.
No, it's only the cute animals.
I
isn't that Dennis Leary that said that we only care about killing the cute animals?
Yeah.
The ugly ones.
I don't know. Safari was making me laugh because it's such a dumb argument, and he just doesn't care. He just wants to wear a fur coat.
It's not going to bother him one way or the other, really.
I know. And I thought it was almost generous of him to watch a video.
I kind of like, he looks really comfortable in that fur and a pile of pillows.
I think his pro fur stance is probably going to help the pro fur movement because he looks really comfortable. He looks cool in the fur. I don't know. It seems to me until it's illegal, can you really throw blood on people?
No, that's a dick move anyway.
Yeah.
That went great. That was fucking tits.
I really wasn't aware there was. Is this the? Have you guys ever heard of a pro fur?
I've never heard of this.
So I thought it was in a way it was kind of interesting.
Nope.
But anyway, this woman's about to come along. Wait, it's Prince Jane. Jane, what's her name? Valez.
Whether it's a difference, whether it's torture or it's happily killed.
Anyway, she's gonna.
I've never heard of something where someone be
not gonna be so kind to Safari when you see her.
What?
Yeah,
does she work for TMZ?
She's an anchor,
she's an anchor. Yeah, yeah. She used to have a talk show on CNN.
Yeah. I forget.
There she is.
She joins us right now.
Wow.
Welcome to TMZ.
What happened?
Thank you for having me
went
on,
off
Harvey.
CNN.
So you heard Safari. What do you think?
Well, I feel sorry for him. I think he should see a therapist. He's very confused. He says he loves animals, but he is promoting the torture of animals. Here's the reality of fur.
Are you promoting
anal
the torture
electrocution?
Of animals?
How would he like somebody Spine to stick purpose? A rod up his butt and electrocute him? Vaginal electrocution, skinning alive, and leg hole traps, which are so horrific, the animals literally try to chew off their legs in order to.
Why is she yelling at me?
This is torture. You wouldn't wish it on your worst enemy, and all
stop
for
yelling at me.
That's why I could never watch her. She was so strident.
Why do they anally electrocute them?
God, I don't know.
I mean, couldn't you just literally
a lot of nerve endings down there?
It's probably a good. It probably is a good way to kill them and
preserve
the coat.
The fur. I understand, but couldn't you just like have someone really strong punch it in the head and kill it? And still have a good fur?
Or maybe just inject it with something.
I'm just saying, there's got to be some other way to kill an animal.
If you're going to stick it in the butt and electric, can you just stick it in the face? I don't know.
What if you, put it to sleep?
Right.
What if you gave it propofol and knocked it out
the
completely?
Rock doc on the phone.
Anesthesia.
We got a new kit for him.
I guess that'd be too expensive.
Anal cost you extra.
Yeah, it's got
to
be.
I mean, people have to pay more for the fur because we used an anesthesiologist. In fact, we used the rock doc. He knows how to put people to sleep.
Have you ever seen
how
they kill cattle? Before the meat, what the hell's it called?
Slaughter.
The slaughterhouse. Have you ever seen them do it? Yeah. It's like that gun that Javier Bardem used in No Country for Old Men. It's right in the back. I don't know why they can't do that for fur. Or do you wear the fur?
I don't know either. I don't get it.
Smaller animals, so they don't need to do that. It's overkill.
I don't know, but I need that gun for the animals living under my desk.
Oh, kill them all.
Totally kill them.
Somehow I have a hard time.
Have I turned you into a killer of your animals instead of catch and release? Trudy catches and releases. Or rodents.
Yeah, kind of. Well, yes.
What is really anally electrocuting animals the only way to have a good fur?
Maybe that's how. Maybe they want.
That seems really hard for me to
maybe
believe.
They like it.
You are not going to stop this. This happens in China. They're not going to stop because anybody's protesting over here.
Oh no, I know they're not going to stop. I'm
they're
just saying.
Sell
is
this
there?
Shit.
There's no other way to kill an animal, or they just don't give a shit.
They're protesting the ban, though, thinking that they won't be able to sell it in New York City.
Yeah, but how can you argue with China about anything? There's no changing China
Trump
ever.
Is.
Well, yeah.
China!
He's not changing the fur business.
It's interesting,
or,
though. The fur business, I've got to believe it's on a massive decline. I never see anybody wearing furs.
I have no idea. I just thought Safari was fascinating. Listen to Jane Velez Mitchell.
I don't
she's harsh.
She's going to keep yelling at me.
No, she'll calm down. She calms down. She's only
you think so?
Go to therapy and figure it out.
Because he's so socially insecure, he needs this totem called fur to put on his back so that people know, he could afford to buy that jacket. You know, it's a contrarian indicator. Anytime I see somebody in a fur coat, I go, oh, God, so socially insecure that they need to put this dead animal on their shoulders to try to telegraph to everybody, I'm okay. Look at me. I can afford this.
We can hear
it's
you.
It's dead. It's as dead as chastity belts. All the top designers have dropped fur.
I don't think it's that
it
dead.
It is over. Human beings have the capacity to evolve.
Okay.
And
thanks, Jane. Bye.
Thanks, Jane.
Jeez. I don't know where she is right now, but I guarantee you she's still yelling.
Does she understand amplified sound?
No.
Not really. I know. For someone who's on, she was on TV for a long time, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she gets a little
worked
out. Dramatic.
Hey, it looked like Inside Edition talked to one of Cosby's cellmates.
Oh, really?
Do you want to hear from
him?
Yeah,
sure.
They're claiming it's an exclusive.
Zip, zop, zoom, da, bop.
Exclusive. Okay.
Where Cosby's doing time.
Bill Cosby spends his days behind bars making the other prisoners laugh. Here's Les Trent.
Oh, when great. Cosby was led away in cuffs to begin his 3 to 10 year prison sentence here, we all wondered what would become of the man once known as America's dad. Now, for the first time, we're getting a glimpse of what life is like behind bars from former inmates who served time with him.
All day long.
Oh, here we go.
All day long.
All day long what?
Really?
Oh, as soon as he comes out, as soon as he exits the cell, he's off the unit.
Oh, great.
He's just Bill Cosby. He's nothing different.
Cosby was convicted of indecent assault last year. His inmate number NN7687. These former inmates insist Cosby gets no special treatment at the Phoenix State Prison in Pennsylvania.
He's just a person convicted, and he's serving his time. Nobody bothers him. Nobody threatens him.
Like what would Bill Cosby's typical day be like?
Come out about 7 o'clock, push down to the chow hall, eat his meal, come back to the block, watch TV, go to the gym or yard if you want to, which you never do.
The men say Cosby caused a stir when he arrived at the prison last September.
When he first got there, the guards was a little, starstruck. They were.
The men say Cosby is in a wheelchair most of the time.
What?
He is legally blind.
No, he's not anymore.
I did not know that you were speaking to me because I am a man unsighted. So I said, I looked at him and he's looking right at me and I'm like, a man unsighted? So he said, yeah, that means that I cannot see.
Don Jones was released from the prison last week. He is now living in a halfway house. He did time for murder and robbery. Raheem Shackelford recently got out after serving 21 years, also for murder and robbery. Shackelford says he will never forget the first time he spoke to Cosby.
I said, how are you, Mr. Cosby? And he said, I'm rather fine. So I said, how are they treating you back there? He said, First class service.
Oh, good one. Good one, Bill.
On Tuesday, a lower court judge rejected Cosby's argument.
Why wouldn't you make up something funny or a comedic line or something like that if you're Cosby? Hey, and the only thing is going to be this prison interview.
Trudy, you're missing the point. I think he thought first class service was a funny line in his mind.
Oh, okay. Now you will get ready for the Zim Zam and the Babbity Bibbity.
I think that's how he thought he was on.
It's getting very deep in prison.
How stupid.
I had to run upstairs. What happened with the inmate?
It's just talking about things Cos said to him. I am not a sighted man.
He said hi to Mr. Cosby. He said, I'm a man unsighted. That's what he said to him. And he said he was staring right at Cosby, who is in a wheelchair most of the time.
And we now know that two former murderers are walking the street.
They served their time.
I know.
Okay.
They paid their debt to society.
They're
reformed because they're spilling on Bill Cosby.
Someone sent me the tease for Letterman's new season. Has anyone else seen this?
No.
I got an email about it. I did not watch the video, though.
I watched the video. Kanye West is going to be on.
Okay. Oh, that could be interesting.
Yeah, definitely. Ellen. She's probably a decent guest, I would guess. I don't know.
They have a cushion flipper? Oh, no, because Letterman's doing the interview. It was funny. We were talking about Ellen the other day. I kind of admire her in a weird sort of way.
Ellen is
what her show is.
She's one of the most successful people in America, period, in my opinion.
She had the one stunt where who was getting this money, but anyway, she was going to give him money.
Yeah, it was a very nice story, which kind of just goes through, I would think, most people. But she made a big joke about it because she brought an oversized purse.
Yeah, she tells her stage manager, bring out Mama's purse. And
it's just a massively, visually huge purse.
Am I the only one not watching Ellen in this room?
You're not down here for our pre-show.
Well, Maz and I are watching TMZ. You guys are watching something more evolved like Ellen.
No, but I was hurt the other day when Tom was here and you were not here. I think you were getting hot. And Brandon and I are downstairs. I said, Tom's upstairs?
By himself.
What?
He wouldn't come down.
He
wants to monopolize your time the second you walk in the door.
And he wouldn't watch TMZ without me.
Wow.
I said, because I texted him, I said, Tom, review TMZ and do play-by-play for me when I get there.
What?
And I got it. He goes, I wasn't going to watch without you.
Yeah, because you guys have a routine. You guys start it, and then you always say, down goes Charles, and then you guys just rap on it.
Well, Maz, it gets so excited. It's funny, the stuff that really bothers him. I mean, Tom Brady, of course, is always number one.
I get that.
He hates Tom Brady.
I love Tom Brady.
There's no rhyme or reason to the things he hates. And he's so fervent about it. Al Michaels?
Yeah, that's really an odd one.
Who else is on his list? Yeah.
Aaron Andrews.
Oh yeah, Aaron. There's more announcers I know than anything, probably.
But we do know
I'm leaving
that,
a few out. But it bothers him to no end.
We do know Susie Colbert is one of the best.
Has he tweeted today? Should we check his
Twitter? I will check it, yeah, okay. Gladly.
He gets more worked up about the fact that at the beginning of the show, Harvey and Charles walk out, and Harvey stands, and Charles sits down. And he's like, oh, my God, I can't believe he sits down like that. And he I mean, usually we watch it twice because he's so obsessed with the fact that Charles. Well, it is kind of weird that Harvey is standing next to him, and he's sitting in a chair. I mean, it's like, I'm important, you're less important. I mean, isn't it really what it's saying? It is, I agree with him. I think he has a point. He's a little overexcited about it, but
but maybe that's just habitual, and that's how they, you know.
It's just funny the things that he picks up. Someone who pays so little attention to anything other than Seinfeld, Batman, right, and sports.
It sounds like that
just really tears him up. Why does he sit down?
He envisions that Harvey lectures Charles, and you will sit down.
Yeah.
Before they go on.
And then down goes Charles.
Well, I'm excited about it.
I should have known he would have tweeted about this. Brad Galley put a picture, this is in the Free Press too, of inside Joe Louis Arena.
Yeah.
It's been a big thing lately.
Inside.
What Joe Louis Arena looks like right now, they're while they're demolishing it. They're taking everything out.
Really? Is that interesting?
And Tom replied with a very sad emoji, which got 3 likes and 1 comment, the comment being, no need to be sad, Tom. No one can bulldoze your memories. Because that's the argument I've always had with them is that, Tom, it's a building. It's old. It's they can do something better and nicer there, and you'll still have the memories.
He really
Pound
does.
Salt.
He gets very sad about anything old
he loves. Mm-hmm. He's overly nostalgic.
I love anything that's old.
I Dream of Jeannie. Yeah.
Barbara Eden. She's old. He still loves her. Currently masturbating to Barbara Eden.
Shit, yeah.
He tweets on Wheels, too, quite a bit.
Oh, he does.
Yeah, but I was trying to find one just now, and I can't. Like, a couple of days back.
He replied to one. He said, Pete Spivak said something about, I don't know, there's a big horse race this weekend. And Tom wrote, don't forget Matt Millen's favorite, win, win, win.
Well,
and then he got 6
that.
Likes on it, and someone responded to him, those likes are improving. To which Tom just wrote barely with a crying emoji, which is funny. I'm going to like that. You're going to have 2 likes there, Tommy.
Well, anyway, the Letterman lineup. Lewis B. Hamilton?
A race car driver?
Oh, yeah, he's an interesting guy if you've ever seen an interview with him.
Okay,
that one could be really good.
I know he was. Tiffany Haddish and Melinda Gates. Melinda Gates.
What?
Wow. Wait, the guy can't go anywhere by himself. He's never been interviewed alone in 30 years, and she's on Letterman? Why would Letterman want to have her on?
I think this book.
Has Letterman lost his sense of humor?
I think he made a deal with her with this book. He's like, you can put those stories in, Melinda, but I'm not doing the tour with you. And he must be living his best life right now.
Well, he wasn't
on
in
her
Miami
BIP tour.
He wasn't at Club Miami.
Yes, you're right.
Go, go, girls.
Right. Oh, my God. They're going to end up divorced in a year. He probably is getting so much strange pussy for the first time.
But I want to know, you know, people like Bill Gates have a certain amount of equity. They can ask for things. They can make things happen that you would never dream of. And I feel like he just used every ounce of equity he has in the world, every favor called in, every dollar spent to get Melinda Gates on the Letterman show. Because why would David Letterman have Melinda Gates on? Why? She's not funny. She's humorless.
He did have Malala. What's that? The girl, 13-year-old girl from
Malala.
Malala, yeah. He had Malala on last season.
Malala?
Yeah. She got shot in the head by the Taliban.
The Taliban and won the Nobel Peace Prize or
and
something.
And is a very eloquent speaker.
What is the David Letterman show? I guess I don't get what the show is.
It's important people.
It's a conversation.
Like people he wants to talk
to. There's not any funny part anymore?
Well, I mean, he's natural. If you've seen it, he's natural.
I saw his first show.
With Obama.
No. Was Obama the first? There was someone I liked. Maybe it was Clooney. And it was like, well, this is okay. No monologue. I missed the monologue. I missed the goofy stuff. He was funny in the interview sometimes. It got a little heavier than I thought. Then he had Obama on. And I mean, I was zoning out in no time with Obama. It was like, la la la, what am I doing? Oh, I'm watching la la la, what am I doing? Oh, Letterman's on with Obama. La 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 la. I mean, it was just it's just not what he. I mean, it's not that I don't. David Letterman should stay in his lane. I just don't like this.
I agree.
He can do it, but I mean, I honestly don't even know if I'll watch any of these shows.
Out of all the interviews I've ever seen Obama do, it was by far the best and most interesting one, for whatever that's worth.
What does that say?
Well, no, it's just not. It's not the typical.
People walking around going, my favorite.
No, but it's not the typical.
My favorite Obama interview is obviously the one he did with blank.
But it's not like
what president has ever. Have you? Can you think of a presidential interview gone, oh my God, I got to watch that again?
Clinton, Hillary, and Bill on 60 Minutes before they were running. Yeah. That one is great.
That's a good one.
It's got some history to it, but I mean, honestly, there was nothing said.
Well, no, Obama is a very boring president.
There isn't really any president that says anything, is there, really?
Well,
Trump and Lester had a good one.
The current one pops up.
Well, he says things that makes people mad, but I mean, what does he say where you go, oh, wow, that's, I got to soak, that's got to sink, I got to sink that in. I got to let that sink in.
Blood coming out of her.
I'm just saying, there's a whole bunch of different examples.
No, he's in terms of being interesting, he's probably number one, but.
I mean, George W. is interesting.
Yeah.
What George W. interview did you really just get off on?
The one that with Dan Rather, where he had the papers.
Like the one CBS.
I feel like I'm talking to Tom Massaway.
I was in my head thinking this is going to be a very Mazzian answer.
And Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
Like the.
Is there a trailer for Letterman for the new show?
Yes, there is.
Is it worth watching?
No, no, it's not. I mean, you want to watch it?
Play it. Let's see how far we can make
Velcro
it.
By the way,
prepare
to be bored. I'm telling you.
You know, it's really a deep question. Thank you very much.
Huh?
I'm very excited.
That was Kanye.
There's you see? Have a seat. Please welcome our guest here tonight. Learn a little something every day.
There's no highlights to show.
When you're bipolar, you have a potential to ramp up, and it can take you to a point where you start acting erratic, as TMZ would put it. Were you ostracized in high school?
No, we'd be on dates with our boyfriends and run into the bathroom and make out and go back to our boyfriends.
Whoa.
I think I've had that.
Okay.
That's a funny line.
There were a couple funny lines, but okay. Go ahead. Keep going.
No, I don't want to see anymore. But Letterman sucks now, apparently.
Funny auditions have been told, too black. Are you too light? Are you too ghetto?
Tiffany
not
Haddish.
Ghetto or never. I've been rejected all my life.
We all have contributions to make. We all have to look at ourselves and say, how do we connect over our humanity? And then how do we
bring
equality?
Drew, how do you connect with your humanity?
Yeah, Drew.
Oh, boy.
I'm so not a Melinda Gates fan. I'm so tired of her. Why can't Bill do one interview alone?
I was good at something.
Did you have a moment when you knew exactly what you were going to do? Do you mind if we talk about this?
I'd love it.
That's fairly provocative. What happened there? Yes! Is there anything we haven't covered?
No, I think we covered a lot more than I even intended on covering.
Done like one of them ancestry things or whatever, the DNA test?
Yeah.
Because I want to know if you relate to anybody from the North Pole.
Oh, boy. He had Howard on. That was a good one.
Oh, that's right.
He had Howard
that was
on.
The first
one. Because Howard ended up interviewing him like he always does.
So who was the better interviewer? I mean, whose technique was better then?
Howard or
David?
I'm always amazed at how Howard flips it back on the person interviewing him.
Right.
Dave, when Dave's being the Dave that I always watched, I just always had fun watching his interviews. It was just, it was very unpredictable.
So now he's trying to do it for more content than humor.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, I like them both. They're both good.
Well, that just saved us 8 hours, though. We don't have to watch any of those.
Yeah,
shows.
I know. I'm just appalled. Who picked Melinda Gates? Did he really want to interview with Melinda Gates? Because I'm questioning my love of Dave Letterman. She's the most humorous person.
If he didn't
want to
talk to her,
planet.
She would not be on the show if he didn't want to talk to her.
I guess not. I don't know. I think Bill Gates pulled out every favor he has ever been owed.
He wanted a
to
day
get
off
on the show.
Because he wanted Melinda out of the house for a while.
I'm hoping that's the reason.
Maybe. You never know. Maybe Letterman asked her hard questions like, why are you
No.
Like, where's Bill?
Why do you get equal credit with Bill? No way. He did not ask that.
Why are you making Bill Gates take his kid to school, wasting 45 minutes?
I know. He's trying to change the world, and he has to stay in the kitchen until she's done cleaning up.
45 minutes. Why?
Oh, my God. So all right. Brandon, do we have any phone numbers?
Gee, I don't think so.
Well, if we want to call the lady down in the Bahamas... at the
GoFundMe lady?
Bar and Grill, yeah. What was her name? Roll? Esther Roll from Good Times.
Not quite.
Damn.
Yeah, she was ripped off by the Fire Festival like so many others. And I forgot, she was 50 grand maybe? Was it more than that? A GoFundMe was started for her. It quickly raised the money. And then she found out
$230,000.
Then she finds out that her friend who set it up had some arrangement where she kept half the money.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess
that's quite the collector's fee.
Doesn't it sound like GoFundMe? I just assume they're all like that.
GoFundMe did step in here and say, "Uh-uh."
Well, but you know, the woman's in two documentaries.
You have to know.
How often do people just get where the person who's the intended recipient doesn't really even know that much about it. Stormy Daniels claimed she wasn't told anything about her GoFundMe. She said Michael Avenatti just took the money, spent it. She had no accounting of it.
I think we know what Avenatti is now, though. You know.
Yeah. There's a lot going on that I really want to see the ending of. Like, Avenatti going to go to prison? Because I feel like should.
Oh, yeah.
But he's an incredible attorney. Who knows? And then
doesn't matter if he's still guilty.
R. Kelly, now that Kim Fox is so compromised, you got to wonder about that.
He paid off more child support.
Oh, good for him.
So, what other stories?
Unfortunately, the Exuma Point Beach Resort is actually closed right
what?
Now.
What?
They're remodeling, I think.
They're closed.
Yeah,
I want to know how this story ends.
But her name was Marianne Roll.
Oh, okay.
And she was nice.
She was awesome.
They're using all the GoFundMe money to remodel.
And remember, she did not make that cheese sandwich. That had nothing to do with her.
That's disgusting.
Brandon, what about, don't we have some, I could swear I sent some IRS numbers, or, because we have a number of people who are going to be arrested by the IRS if we don't step in and make the call for them.
I can check. Let me check my email.
Is that what we fill our public affairs file with? IRS calls?
Yes, absolutely.
We are doing the work of the public.
Hey, pretty soon they may be a thing of the past, though. They've got that robocall thing.
That's right.
About to be deployed.
Our Windows work has been very good, too.
Yes. Yeah. Put that in the file, Trudy.
Our Social Security work.
Didn't you used to do that for Rift?
I did. Oh, my God. I hated that job so bad.
I had to do it at another station.
I almost forgot.
The worst.
I got a Social Security one we can try.
Okay.
Orby always gave me the hardest time on that, too. It's like,
what?
Damn it.
Is there a...
Really?
Yes.
Is there a story, Brandon? Is her number being frozen?
This individual has actually gotten two calls from Social Security, and so we actually have two numbers.
Oh, great.
And she's very worried. Her Social Security number has been suspended, and she would like you to unlock it.
I would love to.
Well, let's do it. Let's call.
Security number.
But it's a couple days old.
Just making notes.
The number you have dialed is no longer in service.
See.
Okay, I got one more.
What's the percentage?
Well, after that one, this one's unfortunately about 33%.
33, I thought it would be lower.
Just say 100.
How are you?
I want to know how this story ends.
Madeline's favorite song.
All those lonely, lonely, lonely,
I used to really hate this song. I kind of like it now.
Live version's way better.
Oh.
Yeah, Jeff Lynne was great. ELO was great, I mean, and they're coming back. Well, we might as well move along to the Battle Creek Hotel. It's the Econo Lodge. Now, the Econo Lodge, that's a name you can usually trust.
Great brand.
Battle Creek police called to a single hotel 475 times in 13 months. The city wants to do something about that. That's, of course, led us to think that they probably have some great one-star reviews.
I didn't even read the story. I read the headline and immediately went to go get reviews.
Yeah, I wasn't even interested in the story. I just thought they've got to have some terrible reviews. So let's look at the one-star reviews for the Econo Lodge in Battle Creek.
Does the story say why so many police calls were made?
Because it's Battle Creek, man.
That's probably a good answer, Trudy.
Kind of Lodge, Battle Creek. I'm gonna try a place
where, you know, people like
TripAdvisor. It's got a 1.5 star, and it's only number 18 out of 19 of Battle Creek hotels.
Wait, 1.5 star average?
Yeah.
Yeah, Google's got a 2.2
well,
out of 135.
Let's dig into some 1 star reviews.
First one I saw, it just says, dangerous illegal practices. While I was checking in, I informed the front desk person, Bob,
Mark.
I had a service dog. He demanded a service dog certificate.
They're tight about service dogs? You'd think they wouldn't care.
Very upset. The room was clean, no security. Anyone can walk in off the streets into the motel hallways. I felt unsafe, and it's in an unsavory part of town. I didn't think of Battle Creek as very unsavory.
There's some problems in Battle Creek.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
The hallways were dirty and smelled of human urine and cigarettes.
It's better than cat urine. I mean, if it's going to have to smell like urine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is by far the absolute worst, most horrible place I've ever stayed in my entire life! 3 exclamation points! It was nasty, unclean rooms, AC didn't work, everything smelled horrible. As we know, it smells like urine. The pool was torn apart.
Oh, God, who'd go in the pool?
Is it an above-ground pool? The pool was torn apart, uncovered, filled with filth. The staff didn't know a word of English and had a homeless person sleeping on the front steps. Every time I went out to my car, there were dot stickers on it. I don't know what that means. Hmm. It's maybe worth $30 a night. This place should be shut down from any health and safety violations. We stay there from the middle of July. Would not go back, even if they paid us.
I said it was worth $30 a night.
Mm-hmm.
I was surprised.
This one's titled, if you're a hooker or a crackhead, you'd fit right in. We had to stay there a few months because we got screwed over in a house. We don't need to know that part. The room smelled like smoke. The bedding was nasty, dirty, stains on the carpet, walls, even light fixtures. Loud music till 4 or 5 a.m. Drunk people falling into your door and knocking on your door. Prostitutes were doing business in the rooms. Very noticeable.
Brandon, can you look up the number, by the way? Why don't we call the front desk and find out what's going on?
Drugs being dealt in the hallways and outside. People from the street would just walk up to you or your open window and ask you for drugs, alcohol, or money. That would be a problem. That would be a problem.
Really?
The front desk does not understand or speak English. This is your second warning, by the way.
If
they don't care about complaints, they're supposed to be breakfast. Oh, my God. They're supposed to be breakfast, but they usually had nothing. Would you want to eat at the place if it's that?
No.
They had a crazy man staying there that scared all the people away, but they just didn't care. Mold in the tub, dirty, nasty towels. Housekeeping never came to our door one time. Wow. Cops were there every night.
Yep, I got their number.
Okay.
Here's one, though, real quick. If you want to stay at a place that is nasty, stay here. They have roaches and bed bugs. They give the rooms with flat screens to the white people. I passed a room, and the lady cleaning had the broom in the bathroom sink, swishing it all around.
Oh, gross.
And then she swept the floor. I heard the same sound, and then the toilet flush, so she probably did the same thing with the broom in the toilet.
Time management.
They also make the bed back up if the sheets don't look dirty. I don't understand that sentence.
They make it back up.
Oh, they make the bed back up if the sheets. Okay, they don't clean them. The sheets all the time.
Take the sheets off.
That's not good. I don't like that.
This is an at-your-own-risk hotel.
Oh.
Okay. All right. Dial them up.
Hmm. Well, this one person did get breakfast. They were prepackaged muffins, so that's not bad.
I'd rather they were packaged, actually.
The bath mat had black spots on it.
No.
Well, that's
how many times did the police come?
I feel like when you think the health department, isn't there some organization goes into a hotel and inspects it once a year?
Lisa Guerrero.
Apparently, there's a lot of. This one says there's a lot of disdain for their American guests.
From the O'Connell Lodge, Battle Creek, Michigan. If you know your party's extension, please dial it now or dial 0 for an operator.
Hmm. Well, 0, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Please hold while I
thought it might be fun to call a room and ask them how the room is.
Oh, that's not a bad idea. This one says, should be condemned. Carpeting in the hall.
What would be the most likely room number?
Probably the O'Connell Lodge, Battle Creek, Michigan.
10.
If you know your party's extension, 123?
Yeah, try
123.
No, 108. It doesn't seem like that'd be
a 108. That's a nice solid room, yeah. The pool.
Hello? Yo.
Well, I'm leaving them a 1 star.
Yeah, 1 star, definitely for the...
I don't know how to use the phone.
front desk. Oh, so we want 1-8, Brandon?
Probably a kind of large Battle Creek, Michigan. If you know
your part, we're stuck in a loop.
The pool is more like an old pit with green slime and disgusting water in the bottom. Paint peeling off. My room is barely livable. The baseboard is
full. Yo.
I think we're just in this loop. Light fixture covers were gone or stained. Bare bulbs and the ones that still worked. Only good thing is the bed looked cleaned. I was able to shower.
This room, Brandon?
I don't know. I'm going to try a different number.
What's the percentage chance?
Oh, wait, 100.
Oh, ask for room 112.
Oh, they gave the room number?
This is by far the most disgusting hotel I've ever stayed at. Ground floor, room 112. The exterior of the hotel was run down. The pool is permanently closed. Not that I wanted to swim in a pond anyway.
All right, I'm going to try.
Let's go for 112.
The room was plain and outdated. I could see crack, whores walking across the street. But the hotel the telephone in the room started ringing at 2:30 a.m. There was a woman on the lane looking for Junior. We told her there wasn't anybody here by that name and hung up. She called right back and started screaming at my fiance again. Told her to quit calling and hung up on her. She called right back. After the third call. How does this lady get to room 112 so easily when we can't even get through?
Well, now.
After the third call, he left the phone off the hook.
This is to 112.
Cool.
Guess what happened the next night to these people? She called again at 4 a.m. I answered this time. I said, hello. They were just listening on the other end. I said, what do you want? A female asked for somebody. I told her, you know the wrong number, and hung up. She called right back. So my fiance ripped the phone out of the wall. We complained to the front desk. They told us there used to be a problem with the direct.
Yo.
There used to be a problem with the direct hotel phone number ringing straight to room 112. But they thought they'd fixed it.
Hello?
No.
This is the weirdest phone line.
It is bizarre.
One of the exit doors to the right of this room reeked of urine.
Econolodge, Battle Creek, room... wait, 2019 room rates. Oh, those are room 2019. $46, by the way.
Yeah.
The guy said it's only worth 30, so that means you're only a third overpriced to him.
I don't think they take reservations because you can't call them.
Does this number end in 213?
Is this...
No.
Phone number?
This is set up so they don't have to get any feedback. That's what this is.
Yeah, but I want to call my friend in room 112.
Yeah, just for drive by. Is his name Junior?
Maybe you can't call until 2:30 a.m.
I gotta admit, that would be pretty frustrating.
Today, Junior?
Yet satisfying to rip the phone out of the wall.
The reviews on this site.
That might be a national
they
number.
They do. Who gave it an excellent review? One person. Thought it was excellent.
Really,
Junior?
That's got to be a homeless person who somebody just threw him a room. Two people said it was good, one average, two poor, and 22 terrible.
Are you on TripAdvisor?
No, I'm not.
Compared to when we stayed here 3 years ago to be close to the arena.
This call may be recorded for quality assurance. We have a special promotion today for select callers.
Oh,
if you
is that
are
us?
Over
a different
50,
number, Brandon?
Please press 1 now.
Yeah, Mark,
if not,
this is the number
press
I've been
2.
This one, yeah.
Press 1.
I think that was a direct one, but this one is...
Oh, 112.
This might be like a national number, though.
Thank you for calling the Medical Alert Center. This is Jessica on a recorded line. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I hear you, but we're trying to reach the Econo Lodge in Battle Creek, and it just keeps going into a big loop. It won't get us... We're trying to get our friend in room 112. Hello?
Great. So with our promotion today, you actually have the opportunity to receive a free medical alert device.
Oh, bastards!
So congratulations.
I thought she was going to
what's so great about that?
She was going to forward us.
In case of an emergency or even a fall. Now, when you're participating in our monitoring program, you actually can get your medical alert absolutely free. So oftentimes it's really expensive to buy a device like this. So we make it really simple for you. We pay for the entire unit itself and then ship it right to your house for free.
Cool.
And then, of course, we guarantee you
100%
peace of
mind
7 days a week. So let's go ahead and get you some more info on it, okay?
Okay, great. P.S. Your cunt's
are you hot or what?
For qualification purposes, can you please provide me your age?
13.
Great. So it actually looks like you qualify for our offer today.
Oh, we qualified.
Please hang on for 1 second.
Is there a hotel near the Econo Lodge we could call to ask how you talk to someone at the Econo Lodge?
To carry the phone over there?
You qualified for this, though.
What's hotel?
At age 13.
It's hotel number 119, or 19 out of 19. Oh, you said this was 18?
Yeah.
Oh, number 19. Let's try
I wanted to see if there were any guest photos first.
Guest
photos are always the best if you want photos. Now, the photos they provide are very nice.
Oh, God, they're horrible.
Except this one room doesn't have a telephone.
this guy I'm reading a 2-star rating. Somebody says, compared to when we stayed 3 years ago, to be close to the arena, the hotel's gone, downhill. The beds are comfortable. It's nice to have a fridge and microwave, but there's no security in the building. Last time, after dark, only the front door was open. The other entrances were locked. Now the locks are broken on the other doors. And there were what appeared to be homeless sleeping in the hallways when we left for the arena in the morning.
Huh.
Very uncomfortable. We will not be back to this hotel, even though the price is fair. Wow. What do these people expect?
Number 19 is America's best value.
What?
Ring a bell?
They just burned down in Petoskey.
Yeah.
Brandon's favorite hotel.
Oh, Trudy, look at these traveler photos. Brandon, go to TripAdvisor and pull up America's best value in, what city are we in again? I forgot.
Battle Creek.
Wow.
Whoa.
Look at that sink, Trudy.
Oh, God.
Oh, those,
oh,
customer pictures?
Oh, yeah.
Again?
Oh, of course. Look at that microwave. Gross.
Whoa. So traveler pictures?
Traveler, yeah.
Although I've seen worse with microwaves that are in radio stations.
True.
What's up with all the government?
Look at that bathroom, Drew.
Like
you want to stay there?
What's the white stuff?
It's the paint where it came off.
Oh, okay.
There's a cool picture of a toilet.
Oh, God.
That microwave isn't that bad, actually.
Yeah, the microwave says it's 6112.
Isn't there a government organization that wouldn't you think somebody would check these places once in a while?
1 star. Worst room ever. It was the most filthiest, smelliest room I've ever been in. There were cigarette burn marks on the side of the bathtub. I'm not even sure how there were burn marks or mold, or if they were burn marks or mold spots in the bathroom. The toilet seat had peeling. The bedside lampshade had some kind of brown matter on it, whether it was dried blood or human feces. The microwave and refrigerator were moldy inside.
Is America's value enlisted, Brandon?
That's this one.
Yeah. Oh, what is that?
It is dirty carpet with sticky, nasty spot in the middle of the floor.
Can you call him?
Boy.
I'm glad America's best value in?
I'm glad they
for Battle
it.
Creek?
Yeah. Do you have the number, Brandon? Oh.
Sorry. That was that went along with the picture. Yeah.
Oh, the audio automatically came up?
Yeah. It's a new feature they have on TripAdvisor.
Hey, they have a 1.5 average. That's not so bad.
Sure. You want to stay there? That's not so bad.
Okay,
Mr. Silver Lining.
What? I don't know much about Battle Creek, I guess.
What do you mean? It's not a place you probably, you and Chris would probably want to go vacation.
I'd give it 0 stars if I could. Take your $40 and go get a room somewhere else. Bathroom was not clean. The fridge was disgusting and very loud. One set of lights could not be turned off.
Oh, boy.
All of this in the jerk whose car alarm chirped every minute at 11 p.m.
Do you think the person that works here also lives here, just like the one in Petoskey?
Hopefully.
Possibly.
Oh, my God. I feel bad for these people.
Why did they stay? When you're checking don't know.
I love how these shitty places make it impossible to talk to anyone.
Room 116.
They know what's going to happen.
Room 242 sound pretty gross on this place.
242?
Yeah. This room 242 had broken glass all over the floor.
Oh, nice.
Oh, boy.
Squishy bathtub and beds not made.
Ugh. Since when are there hotels where you can't call?
You can't get to anybody in Battle Creek.
This is not the clientele that goes online and uses a credit card necessarily. Yeah. Or I guess you have to go there.
Yeah.
So you're stuck.
Yeah. Yes.
Running my shower, I was all ready to shower when I stepped into the tub and absolutely no exaggeration, the tub flooring not only sank about 2 inches, but literally felt like I was stepping on a waterbed.
Oh,
another example is how a hot water bottle feels and sounds like when it's filled.
Oh,
I've never heard of a squishy shower.
Oh. Brandon, we don't have a boner line today, do we?
Unfortunately, no. I apologize.
Okay. All right. And we're not going to get anybody on the phone. I mean,
I can't believe they want to
answer. Bizarre. I know. America's best value win. I think they answered the phone, didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
Remember the hotel that Mateen Cleaves assaulted the girl in?
Yes.
They answered the phone, and actually we had a pretty lengthy discussion with her, and what was the deal? I think Mateen Cleaves had paid $49 for a deluxe room, and she was telling us what was in the deluxe room was better than the $40. I just remember it was a very lengthy conversation. Huh. But these people, and the shock, though, was that Mateen Cleaves would take a girl there to assault her or otherwise. It just didn't seem like, I just thought Mateen Cleaves would.
That was like the only hotel.
Be classier?
Maybe.
There's nothing around there, right?
And by the way, he was never convicted of assaulting her.
Yes.
That's important to point out. You want to get us out of here, Brandon? That's our little late. We got the best of. Mm-hmm. Oh, I will mention over the outro that the best of is brought to you by Mr. Scott Kunith. He is with Coldwell Banker Weir Manual. If you want to see what your home is worth or help in finding your new one, call Scott at 248-797-7746. He's happy to text with you. He'll talk to you in drops from the show. 248-797-7746 or skunath, S-K-U-N-N-A-T-H, at CBWM. And he is the rising star of Coldwell Banker Weir Manual and a friend of ours. So there you go. Scott Kunith brings you the best of for Saturday, and hopefully everybody has a great weekend. What's going on this weekend?
Is there a horse race?
Preakness?
There is a, the Preakness.
Yeah, but it doesn't have any of the heavy hitters, right? There's no Country Day. There's no Maximum
Yeah,
security.
No Tim or Steve or Bob racing.
Yeah.
Tigers are no in idea. Town for, I guess, about 5,000 or 6,000 will attend that series.
Yeah, it's weird. Nothing's good. I feel like nothing's going. Oh, no. Isn't Comic-Con this weekend?
Yeah, Comic-Con.
Yeah, because Lou Ferrigno was down at the Tiger game today.
He threw out the first ball.
Oh, yeah, Lou Ferrigno.
Thanks, Larry King.
I tweeted out a picture of Lou on the mound and said that he threw out the first ball and threw it out of the stadium.
Better than Bruce Willis, huh?
Yeah. Why did Bruce Willis get booed just because Philadelphia likes booing people?
Yeah.
Okay, because I saw him bounce the pitch.
Bad, but
no, I was the guy caught it.
Yeah.
It's all Philly. Right, like us on Facebook, Twitter at Drew Mike Podcast, and Trudy at Trudy Dan, Mark at Mark Fell, Producer, I won't even spell it. We'll see ya.
It's the weekend.